Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio! This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black dude, holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. It is Thursday, July 12th, 2012. And it's another edition of Yakuza Kick Radio. I, as always, am your host, J-Cat Morris. I got some stuff to talk about, but more importantly than that, I got a guest tonight. And I'm going to put him on the line right now. I'd like to welcome to the show our guest, Niles Young.
J-Cat, how's it going, buddy?
Cool, man, cool. I figure, you know, I've had a ton of people on here, and you're a guy who I've been watching in the ring for quite a amount of years now. So, figure it was only right that I had you on.
I appreciate it, man.
You know, for the people who don't know who you are and don't know, you know, where you come from or what you've done, figure we're going to catch everybody up on that, maybe get some stories out there and stuff. Let's start from the beginning. You know, where did you get started, you know, training and all that stuff? How did you get into wrestling?
Well, you know, like a lot of guys from this area, I was actually going to college right in the city. I went to the school, Philadelphia University, and it was right around the time that CZW had just gotten on public television and, you know, obviously it was airing every Saturday or whatever it was. And, you know, like a lot of people, I stumbled onto it, and, you know, it was around the time that you know, ECW was gone and things like that, and it was just like the new hot thing. It was just like, you know, people were bringing this back, this hardcore, you know, I hate to say it, like backyardy feel of a wrestling promotion at the time, you know, and it just turned me on to it. So, you know, I did the research. I found out the school was just right over the bridge in Deptford, New Jersey. Ended up actually emailing I think John Cashmere, because he was a former student of my college, ironically. And, you know, went down to the school one evening, tried out, and the rest is history, really.
Who was training the school at the time?
It was mainly John Dahmer and Eddie Valentine before Eddie left. And then, you know, for a long time, primarily John Dahmer.
Yeah. That's a guy that I've said it over and over on this show that probably never got his, you know, his due in independent wrestling, because it seemed like for the most part he spent more focus on putting his students over than he did himself. I mean, did you see it that way or?
Yes and no. I mean, having been on the receiving end of a lot of John's ass kickings, I wouldn't say that
right,
he did
right.
a good job to anybody. But
right.
I mean, so yeah, it definitely sucks. I think the position he had for a long time, which was basically breaking in the students, kicking their asses, and you know, getting them ready for the grinder. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because he's definitely better than that, and you know, just definitely
yeah.
deserved more. He deserved more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just meant, you know, he spent more time. Well, I mean, whether he was squashing his students or what he was doing, he
yeah,
surely wasn't trying to, you know, win any world titles. Any, you know,
bludgeoning his students. But you know,
yeah.
I appreciate it. Like, there's, I don't want it to sound like a bad thing, because I appreciate every day the ass kicking he gave me, because you know, it just makes everything else pale in comparison, really.
What was your first match breaking into CZW once you finally got through your training and stuff?
Well, you know, they always try to, like, break in a little bit here and there with, like, battle royals and things like that, just to get you out in front of the crowd and comfortable and, you know, just get your feelers out there for what it's really like when it's live and whatnot. But the first, I guess, serious match was myself, Jude, and Corey Castle all sort of got our tries at the same time, you know what I mean, our little student pushes, if you will.
Okay.
And Jude and myself actually ended up wrestling Corey and Dahmer in a tag team match. Right when CZW came back to the arena after having been kicked out for, like, two shows.
Right, with the XPW thing.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Like, when we ran a couple shows at 61st and passing or whatever.
All right. Now, I don't know exactly how long after that was, but I figure it's not too, too long because, you know, they kind of kept the students together and stuff like that. They started off the CKNY gimmick and all that.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was fun while it lasted, I suppose. But that's pretty much where my whole name idea came from. Back when we were breaking into the business, Corey and I wanted to be a tag team, and you know, of course, we thought we were these young, pretty boys, so we would do sort of a modeling gimmick. And it was actually Robbie Marino that came up with the whole CKNY, and then obviously we needed a name to go with NY. And he came up with Niles Young, and that's where that comes from.
Oh, wow. So you pretty much named yourself through making that tag team
yeah.
gimmick up?
Right, and I okay. still use the god-awful name I have.
You regret the name?
It's just all right. It just doesn't really go with my very Italian-y persona, I wouldn't say, but it is what it is.
Yeah, there's no vowel at the end of your name.
Yeah, exactly.
Clearly doesn't stand out. But so, I mean, Corey, I mean, you know, he had some health problems down the end of the, you know, I think he does stand-up comedy now from what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
yeah. Have you been in contact with him since that and all that?
Definitely. We stay in touch here and there. We don't live quite as close as we used to, so I don't see him as often, but we definitely stay in touch. And, yeah, that's really shitty as far as what happened to him with all his health issues. It was kind of a scare for a minute there.
Yeah, definitely scary shit. Obviously, back then, you know, doing what you were doing and on the lower end of the card, I mean, there's been, you know, stories of how brutal Zandig was, you know, the other promoters and whoever he didn't, you know, cross the right wires with or whatever you want to call it. But what was it like working for Zandig back then? He was a no-bullshit guy.
Yeah, for the most part. He was, you know, he was as intimidating as it gets as far as, like, people you would ever want to do business with or be in a locker room setting with, just because he was a tough read at times, you know what I mean? Like, he could be, you know, happy as a lark, and you wouldn't be able to tell, or he could be really fucking pissed off, and you wouldn't be able to tell. But you didn't want to find out, you know what I mean?
Right, you know? Definitely.
But he certainly personally isn't a, you know, bad guy or anything like that, but just between his wrestling style, what he's famous for, some of the, you know, episodes that people have witnessed, you know, he's definitely intimidating. But as far as working for him, you know, it wasn't bad back in the day. He just wasn't, in all honesty, the best communicator, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
it was either done through third parties and things weren't clear a lot of the times. But overall,
you know, he's definitely responsible for the company being successful for a long time and its origin. So, you know, you got to appreciate that.
Yeah. Not to jump ahead real quick, but we'll come back. But what's the big difference between working for Zandig and working for DJ?
Like I said, probably, you know, you do actually talk to DJ a bit more than you would have John.
Communication.
You know what I mean? There's a lot more personal communication, I'd say. As far as, you know, the way the company's run and things like that, I guess the way things are booked at times, I think DJ's pretty much taken the torch and ran with it as far as that style of booking and putting shows together. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, if there's any major difference, I actually find myself talking to DJ a lot more than I would ever have John.
Right. Do you think that makes it easier? Or, I mean, you know, back in the day with Zandig, you definitely, you know, rose to, you know, being, you know, spotlighted in, you know, Cage of Death and this and that. Not, you know, main event, but in the same token, had pretty, you know, big highlighted matches. And
certainly.
Do you think you're going to be able to get to that point, you know, easier with DJ or?
Yes and no. Are you saying as far as, like, getting those opportunities or whatnot?
Right, right.
Yes and no. Because while communication can be, you know, a positive tool, it can also be your worst enemy at times, you know, just because it still is a wrestling business and it still is kind of a yes man, keep everybody happy kind of business. So, you know, talking
right.
to somebody, you know, sometimes you get the truth, sometimes you don't, and no matter what, people, I'm not saying anyone in particular, but people have to sort of, you know, smooth things over, make it seem like everything's going to be all right, when in reality
sure.
it might be, you know, have other plans, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, and I'm sure, as you know, as much as you're getting to talk to DJ now, so is everybody else, so it's got to be
exactly.
really hard.
And at the end of the day, you know, there's really only so many spots on the show, and there's really only
sure.
so many opportunities for everybody, and there's really only so many shows in a year. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So it's like, you know, either get your opportunities or you don't. Sometimes the communication is helpful. Sometimes it sort of backfires.
One of the best feuds to go back now that I think you had was your Derek Frazier feud. And, you know, that went to Cage of Death and everything else. And what was your thoughts on that whole feud and how did it come about and everything?
I mean, it was definitely awesome. I mean, I talk about it with him all the time and a lot of other people just because it went on for quite some time. And, you know, it really was memorable for both of us because we were in similar positions in the company at the time, still relatively fresh in the business, with, you know, not a ton of matches under our belts yet, really, or really any major stories or angles like that, you know what I mean? So
right.
It was a good series for both of us. We had a, you know, a good exchange of wins and losses and some gimmick matches in there. We had a ladder match and then obviously the big 2 out of 3 TLC match at Cage of Death. And, you know, it was awesome because it gave us both an opportunity to perform on that big stage and, you know, on main shows doing gimmick matches and so on and so forth and really showing everybody that we could do it too. And,
right.
you know, it really helped catapult both of us forward in the company at the time, I think.
Yeah. How did you go? I mean, it obviously, you know, was highlighted pretty big once you hit it off the platform in that match. But how did you come up with the whole the Bam Margera move?
That's a damn good question. Now that I think about it, I'm like trying to think if anything physically truly inspired it. I mean, obviously, the name Bam Margera is Bam Margera, obviously, because I'm
right.
using the chair, the skateboard, so on and so forth. That's not
yeah.
perfectly obvious to anybody. There's probably somebody's probably listening right now. Oh, that's why he called it that. but as far as how did I come up with that, I don't know. Probably a lot of like Rob Van Dam inspired type maneuvers where he would place chairs in front of their face and then in one way or another with help or by himself kick another one into it. So, you know, probably a lot of his arsenal. A little bit of, like, the concerto, you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
All right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Was there any, I don't know, was there any, like, nervousness or anything doing it off to, like, a high, you know, platform like you did at Cage of Death? Or was it just at that point you already had it down and it was no big deal?
Like, you think it's not going to be a big deal until you're actually up there and you see what it's really not that high. But when, you know, your feet are at the height of the platform and then your head sits about another 5 or 6 feet above that. So that's where your eyeballs are sitting, you know, and you're looking off of there and you're like, shit, that's far to go down. Especially like, you know, whether you're going to stick it or, you know, you're going to miss or whatever, you know, you definitely worry about blowing out your knees or turning an ankle or, you know, whatever. But fortunately, you know, I guess that's part of your training at CZW.
Yeah.
You know, learning how to not just bump, but bump off of platforms and, you know, basically recover off of ridiculous maneuvers, you know what I mean?
Now, how many times do you actually, like, practice that going into, like, a Cage of Death?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, you don't really try things like that. You kind of just do that,
right.
You know what I mean?
More you
know,
getting
you only,
the fundamentals
about,
down.
Yeah, you only talk about so much, really. And then, you know, but certainly probably not at all, you know what I mean, something like that. Or maybe one time, you know what I mean?
Right. More or less get all the, you know, the fundamentals of it down and then take it a little higher during the show.
Yeah, exactly. When
okay,
you know, for some reason you feel like being surrounded by a bunch of people who normally hate your guts screaming is a good reason to jump off of a scaffold, then yeah, it's a good idea.
All right. Well, speaking of that, you clearly took, you know, the road at one point or another that I don't know if there was a breaking point or you were going to figure out, you know, heel face or where you were, you know, destined to go, but you kind of went as a career heel at one point and you kind of cemented yourself as that. Was, you know, what went into that? Like, what was your thoughts behind that?
I mean, definitely growing up and being a fan of the business, like most wrestlers and such, I just always was a big fan of the bad guys, quote unquote.
Right.
You know, even like guys like Razor Ramon, Triple H, anybody like Ric Flair, any of your classic, just dastardly son of a bitch heels, I was just always a big fan of. In addition to being like a big supervillain fan, you know, you name it, I probably loved them, especially if they wear purple. But, you know, just a combination of all those things just really helped generate, I guess, the character that is now young, just like a, you know, dastardly do-anything-to-win piece of shit greaseball heel, you know what I mean? And
I think I do it
pretty well because I often find myself getting booed and my opponent cheered, so that means I'm doing my job pretty well. Yeah, it's a lot more fun, and I've never really had much success getting over as a babyface.
Right.
Especially when you have this face on your face. It doesn't really work too well.
Well, I mean, the Philly crowd, do you think that, you know, contributed anything to, I mean, does it make it just like a natural thing if you get booed, okay, you're a great heel, or, you know, it's got to be more than that, right?
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, you
Dave
you
Greco's
do,
not
you
just
do
a
it.
Great heel. He's,
true. I mean, in order to get a negative reaction in South Philly, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing a very good job as a heel. No, you're right. but it's definitely fun as well to, like, especially of all wrestling fans, that South Philly arena crowd. I mean, when you could get under their skin and they were, like, chalking back ready to hit you or whatever, like, that felt really good. You know what I mean? That just feels really good when you can get under these people's skin because a lot of them, they're hard to break. You know what I mean? But when you do it, it's just like your mouth's watering. It's awesome.
Yeah. Now, you had your relationship with Noel Harlow.
That's me throwing up. That's me vomiting.
Well, you know, I'm sure you have a lot to say about that. We'll get to all of that. But I also, you know, I wonder, now I don't know, like, how your relationship went or, you know, what any of that was or, you know, what you want to say about it or whatever, but having her as your manager as well as being romantically involved with her, was that harder?
Yeah, definitely at times. It made things harder. Not from a standpoint that, like, I ever took, like, the story seriously. Like, if another wrestler was messing around with her or, like, you know, there was a spot of sorts where, like, anyone was, you know, being very physical or even sexual or anything like that, it was like, right. I know, it's a work, no big deal, whatever. But, like,
right.
It was just, it was a pain in the ass for any reason you can imagine it would be to work with the person you're with. You know what I mean? Like, you don't go to work with whoever you're with just because, you know, it's not good. It doesn't make for a good situation.
Sure.
You know, you lose a sense of professionalism because of how personal it is. You know what I mean? So the same, I guess, gratitude and courtesy you would show to, like, a fellow employee is lost. You know what I mean? Because they're
yeah.
so familiar with you. So, I mean, for a lot of reasons, it's just, yeah, it wasn't. It started out good, but then just because, like I said, of the situation I just described, it got shitty.
Yeah, and you know, especially being a bad guy, being surrounded by, you know, fans that you want to hate you, but now your girl's there, and now they're going to give her shit too, and you just have to kind of eat it. Like,
oh yeah, of course. But, you know, that goes hand in hand with getting the reaction that we want to get. You know what I mean?
Right. So then, I mean, that kind of led, part of that led, for whatever reason, describe the headbutt incident.
as far as, I mean, I don't know if you or anyone else happened to catch the latest edition of a division of Botchamania, but it was CZW Mania 2007,
yeah.
Brought to you by the...
Not many companies get a whole volume, but...
Yeah. Yeah, well, companies that have a lot of mistakes, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess what I was saying was, the incident, yes. If you were watching that clip of CZW Mania, I described rather well that it was, you know, I guess 2007. We were having a series of matches, Derek Frazier and I, against the Blackout, and while at ringside, a unknown fan... decided to say some inappropriate remarks after I had already dealt with another fan that had struck the fifth ring post. And, you know, basically I got in that fan's face, lost my cool, headbutted him, and was reprimanded thoroughly by one John Zandig backstage.
Right.
But, I mean, if you have any further questions, I'd be happy to elaborate.
So then when this unknown fan got a job from it and people blamed you, is that, I mean, warranted or is that,
well,
I don't know.
Put it this way.
It's been a lot of rumor.
The getting of a job, the acquisition of a place in combat zone wrestling as a result of my forehead striking his is, I don't think there's any real correlation there. You know, you may have to go to the source to figure out exactly what happened. Did my action actually produce that result? That party would say nay. A lot of other people say yes. So I don't
right.
know whose side to take, honestly. But all I can say is if the result of the acquisition of the position, if everyone at home is following along, if the result was true as a result of my actions, then I thoroughly apologize.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't imagine it would last this long over, you know, that incident. But, you know, who knows? I don't like the motherfucker, so I ain't going to say his name a lot. But,
yeah,
you know,
you shouldn't bother.
Things happen. No, things happen. And
Certainly they do, and worse things have happened.
Yeah, just same guy.
right, exactly.
Well, you know, anyway, you know, the whole relationship went on, you know, with you and Noel. You know, obviously at some point a lot of things come to an end and you know, the relationship came to an end. Did this go on during, you know, the course of you having her as a manager? And then what was the, you know, how did you handle that? Because obviously, you know, you're pinned together in a storyline,
sure.
You're pinned together
Definitely.
On camera. What happens next, you know?
I'm trying to think exactly where I was working at the time, and I'd say for a while there, right at the end of like 2008 and early 2009, I don't know. I guess I kind of feel like I had one foot out the door as far as wrestling goes. You know, just wasn't into it as much anymore. Just wasn't feeling it. Wasn't working everywhere that I really wanted to. You know, and, you know, you get to a point where you're working a full-time gig and wrestling on the side, and, you know, it becomes tiresome, and you have to weigh your options, what's really paying your bills, and what hurts a lot and what doesn't, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, sure.
And so, I mean, like I said, I guess where I was going with that was just the fact that, like, I wasn't that as into the business at the time, so it wouldn't have really have, like, too great of an impact, you know what I mean?
Okay.
More or less, as soon as we called it quits, you know, I went sort of back to combat zone wrestling and just basically everywhere that she wasn't, just to get the hell away from her. And
right.
Now I honestly couldn't tell you one place she does work. I think she's dead, hopefully.
No, I don't think so. I see her on a Big Vito's timeline on a regular basis. So I don't think she's dead, but she's probably not,
okay.
You know, valeting at the time. But
yeah. Well, good.
Cream
rises to the top.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one thing that, you know, it looked awkward and obvious, a bunch of fans are like, oh, shit, is when you actually got back in the same area as her at Acid Fest, which we will go back and talk about, Trent. I'm not going to just skip over that. But
certainly.
When, you know, you and Vito played the big thing in the Battle Royal and stuff like that. How did that go down as like a backstage conversation of like, hey, okay, we're just going to be all professional, go out there, a little bit of headlocking.
We didn't talk about any of that. Are you kidding me? Like, absolutely not. No way. I got in the ring, and next thing I know, I was getting glommed by a fucking bald, like, Viking of a man. And I was just like, what is going on? I was like, what is going on here? Like, what? And, no, but it was definitely very professional. I mean, I didn't see it coming. I didn't really anticipate, you know, the former Fed superstar coming after little old me right away as soon as I got in the Battle Royal. But next thing I know, I'm getting a mud hole stomped to me in the corner. But everything was real professional. Like, you know,
yeah,
no black eyes.
I didn't see any
no black
new
eyes,
antics going on.
No black eyes, no potatoes, no, you know, nothing bad. No hard way, right hands, anything.
Right.
Everything was cool. But, you know, it was what it was. I was
kind
of
wondering.
Anything,
cause...
It was hard to not laugh. It was, like, hard to not, like, laugh and smile as, like, you're getting your ass kicked by, you know, your ex's new fling. It's like, oh, no. How
that just doesn't come off that often, you know. You don't often see that.
Yeah. And, but, no, trust me. Like, all my buddies up in the balcony were ready to run down. Like, they thought it was a shoot. Like, fucking, like, Sammy was up there. Adam Cole was up there. Ty Hagen, Greg Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all those guys were sitting up there because it was a, I think they were up there from the show as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were just all up there freaking out because, like, they thought I was getting shot on. And, you know, they were all ready to storm the damn ring.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, you got to give them credit for being professional. And, you know, I mean, honestly, you know, anybody who is a professional wrestler who's been in the business as long as him, you wouldn't expect them to just go outside of the box. And so, I mean, you never fucking know because you can only imagine what was being said.
Sure. Exactly. I mean, when you have a little poodle, you know, at ringside barking orders at you, you never know what people do. People do dumb shit. So.
Right.
But that's enough about those two. They're not worth your time or mine.
It's not, you know, it's more to life than that. So anyway, to go back, what was your thoughts on your time with Yukar, the Young Lions Cup and all that?
Oh, it was a great time as well. And I had the pleasure of talking to Mike Quackenbush recently and actually thanking him for a lot of those years and giving me the opportunities to really grow as a young superstar back then and break out as a singles wrestler. Get the exposure I needed to really get in front of a lot of other promotions. And, you know, it was a great time back then. It was like another great learning experience with a lot of fun people.
Right. I mean, the locker room has got to be night and day from the CCW locker room.
Definitely. I mean, between the wrestlers themselves, the personas they bring, privately and professionally, as well as, you know, business is conducted a little different, but that's neither here nor there, but it's very different.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely figure it's a very, very different experience to go from John Zandig yelling motherfucker at everybody and
doesn't
the thing he does. And,
he doesn't scream often or, you know, say lots of MFers, really, not too often.
Right, yeah, and then, you know, you got guys like Gage who are, you know, calling everybody a pussy and he's the biggest face in the company, and then, you know, you got your Chris Heroes and your Quackenbushes.
Right.
So it's got to be
but
a good
that was a great time as well. I mean, I definitely miss those days.
Awesome. Trent Acid.
Yes, sir.
I mean, your thoughts on him from this getting into CZW and your meetings with him and just the whole time.
That's a crazy story. I mean, it's a mouthful, that's for sure, as far as, you know, what I think about him and
how about it?
just as much of an inspiration as he was to me personally, but, you know, literally, like I said, when I kind of described how I got into CZW and how I stumbled upon it on TV like everybody else, and, you know,
right.
The first show I actually attended was their first show in the arena, Cage of Death 3, where
right.
Trent wrestled Ruckus for the junior title, and, you know, like I said, the whole entire experience was a huge inspiration, but, you know, Trent and the Backseat Boys, like, were definitely a huge, huge, huge inspiration to me. Like, they really embodied everything that I liked about wrestlers my size and, like, the personas that they brought to the ring as far as,
sure.
the, you know, slimeball Italian-looking kids that were very sinister and bad and cocky, you know what I mean? And it was just right up my alley, you know what I mean? But, you know, nevertheless, just, as far as wrestling ability goes, performance, showmanship, it was everything that every wrestler in this business should try, you know, strive to be. And, you know, I feel like I recognize that, whereas maybe other people didn't really take advantage of that or take note of that. You know what I mean? Not enough people really did. But as far as, like, stories with him, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty that I could tell or other folks can tell you. But unfortunately, I never really had a chance to get too close to them while we were both at CZW before, you know, he went off and did his own thing. But in his later years, we definitely got to know each other a bit better, and, you know, that's when all the funny stories come into play. But
as the years went on and stuff like that, I mean, he, you know, he obviously became troubled, but in the same token, he still became, you know, completely genuine to everybody he knew. And
for sure.
I mean, he put himself out there, still the guy you knew, just, you know, with a little bit, you know, skeletons in his closet, which most people have, but, you know, some become troublesome than others.
Right. I mean, not many people can say that, you know, at one point in time, they were probably pound for pound the best junior heavyweight, maybe in the world, you know what I mean?
No
at
way.
Point. I mean,
that guy could.
I mean, he was definitely good for a minute, but.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, it's a shame that what happened. And, I mean, there's so many other people that were even closer with him that, you know, I stay in touch with. And, you know, I don't know how they deal with it. I don't know how they, I mean, I guess they deal with it the same way everybody else does. You know, just think about the good times and live off that.
Right. Now, I mean, when you heard about his passing and stuff like that, what, how did you feel? Did you see it coming? Did you, I don't know.
I mean, not exactly. I mean, that's, when somebody has some problems and issues and so on and so forth, you know, you always worry about that. But you, at the same time, you never think that it actually will happen.
Right.
Not to that person, per se. Like, the person you usually joke about it happening to, it doesn't normally happen to. Yeah, you know, if that makes
absolutely.
Any sense at all. You know, and
yep.
not that that's the type of thing to joke about. You know what I mean? I don't want to sound so insensitive by saying that. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you, but the previously mentioned Scott Hall is still here, so, you know.
Right. The real me actually does have a heart and have friends and, you know, people that care about him and stuff. So,
no soda.
I don't feel bad saying that, you know,
that sort of thing.
But, no, when I found out I was actually at work, I believe it was like a Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the next year it was a Saturday and there was more unfortunate events.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I got a call at work. I went outside because, like, they said it to me. The person who called said it to me while I was still sitting at my desk. And, like, you know, you say to yourself, no way. Like, you know, you actually physically say, like, nah, come on. Like, you're kidding me. And then, like, I walked outside and, you know, when somebody reassures you, like, no, yeah, it's true, you know, you break down, like, immediately. Like, you immediately, like, lose your shit and, you know, I don't care how big or jacked of a man you are, you start to weep, you know what I mean? Like, you wail a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, because I just remember saying, like, you know, why? Like, why did he do that? Why did he, you know, or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I think I just kept asking some question, but it was horrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just immediately called, I called Kim and I told her and, you know, we called out of work and just went and cried about it pretty much for a while. We hung out with, me and Sammy and Devin got together and just hung out that evening.
Yeah.
Just try to keep each other company and preoccupied. You know what I mean? That's all you could do.
Definitely. Yeah, it was rough going, man. For, you know, fans, I mean, friends, family. I mean, it definitely rocked the independent world from, you know, every facet. Like you said,
I mean, like, you just don't understand.
One of the best junior heavyweights ever, you know?
Yeah, you don't understand how that could happen. You know what I mean? You perfectly do understand, but you don't want to believe it. You know, it's just like, that can't happen. Not to him. You know what I mean? And
all
right. It did. You know what I mean? It sucks. It sucks when you're standing over top of his grave and you're just like, you know, 10 years ago you inspired me to wrestle and now you're not here to, like, see me do it. And it sucks.
Yeah, I hear that, man. Another company you work for, I guess I'll start us in there to break this up a little bit, but Force One.
Totally.
A nice, you know, upstart company. They're doing a lot of fresh things. I think that's Johnny Calzone's company over there. And
indeed.
He's got a lot of, you know, guys and puts them, you know, in a different booking light than a lot of other people do. So it's got like a kind of a fresh feel to it. Like, you might know the characters, but the roles they're put in is definitely far different. What's your thoughts on, you know, what he's doing there?
Yeah, it's good. It gives people, like, a different taste of people, like you said, people they might know, but just in different roles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
good experience there overall?
Oh, definitely. It was always a blast. I guess probably from January of 2010 until recently, I've been wrestling there pretty regularly, and it's always fun. The crowd is very light and pretty family friendly, so, you know, it's nice to interact with that sort of crowd once in a while, you know what I mean? It's not quite as difficult to please, I guess we'll say.
Right.
But no, it was always a lot of fun. A lot of the stuff we did with, like, the new regime versus Team Force One that first year, it was really fun, and ending in like a war game style match was awesome. I've never really done anything like that, but yeah, like, it was fun to take on different roles and do different things that haven't really done other places.
Yeah, I like the company. I think they do a lot of good things over there. It's funny, I went to one show and they had Nick Gage there, and see him walking around the ring calling people a jerk. It's just like the funniest thing to see Nick Gage doing.
Yeah.
You're a jerk.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick. Yeah. Look at you.
That's fantastic. It was like,
but
Nick Gage light.
It's like, I don't like you because you're ugly. Like, all right, then. There you go.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's just funny, but no, I mean, I've seen family-friendly shows many times, and I think they executed quite well and actually put on a good amount of really, you know, well-executed wrestling. And
to say that a crowd is easier to please, I don't necessarily mean that you slow your match down, then you still go out there and
right.
kill it and have a really awesome match, but I guess the crowd just appreciates it a bit more, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely a stacked card of talent for, you know, family-friendly. A lot of times it's filled with a lot of just, like, filler wrestlers that are probably won't be wrestlers in a year and a half, but, well, who cares? It's a family show, and one of them's a comedy match, and one of them's this, but, you know, you look up and down the card as an actual wrestling fan and go, wow, they got quite a card going. So
absolutely.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to get the other negative thing that happened a year later out of there, Justin Roberts.
Indeed.
You know, another guy that, you know, you're close with, you knew. I mean, what was your feelings on that and your remembrance of him and everything?
I mean, just another really difficult thing to try to accept. I mean, I hate to be selfish in talking about Trent Acid or Justin Roberts. I hate to sound selfish and, you know, sit here and talk about how much I'm grieving over these people, when in reality,
but,
you know, there's
I think all of their memories
people.
Need to live on. You know?
Sure. I'm just saying, you know, but there's certainly several people that have suffered from these losses, you know, greater than I have. I mean, we all lost these people, but, you know,
yeah.
But no, I mean, I guess to go on, you know, it was horrible. Like I said, finding out about Trent on a Friday, JT, I found out Saturday morning, the morning after it happened, or however you want to look at it. And
right.
you get that text message, you read it, and then you immediately go into a small, like, denial mode. Like, I threw my phone down, and I didn't even want Kim to read it. I was like, don't even look at my phone. I said, just don't look at my phone. Like, just don't ruin your day, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you just say to yourself, no. Like, you just keep saying no, as if that's going to change anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're just continually saying no, like that's going to reverse what you just read and make it untrue or something like that. But it was miserable, just because another great person in and out of the locker room, in the ring he was becoming into his own, and he was excellent. He was a great character. He and I just got put together as a tag team in RCW down in Maryland, and you know, we were going to call ourselves the Dastardly Bastards, because he was a arrogant bastard, and I was a dastardly Italian, and we just thought it was the greatest thing that we ever came up with. And we did have a really fun and awesome tag team match against Greg Excellent and Milo Shizo 2 weeks prior to his passing. And, you know, we're just very, very, very excited about it. We were very excited about this new team that we had. We gelled together like we've been wrestling together for 10 years. And, you know, we were just really looking forward to it and probably taking that show on the road and going everywhere. And, again, you know, like I said, I can't say that I'll ever, you know, take this loss as great as his tag partner, Core, you know, just because, like I said, I can't be selfish here and say that it was like, you know, oh, man, all my hopes and aspirations were killed here, you know what I mean, because...
Right.
You know, this was just something that was just starting that we were excited about. But, like, you know, my heart definitely goes out to Joe Core, as I was saying, just because, you know, that was his little buddy. That was his tag team partner first.
For sure.
You know, for years and years. And but yeah, like I said, it broke my heart in so many ways, just because I lost my friend. We lost a great person. I lost a tag team partner. I lost a really fun, bright future, and, you know, his wife lost her husband, and his little girl lost her father. And
yeah.
It's miserable. It's miserable, because there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to fix that.
Yeah.
Absolutely miserable.
Well, I mean, just to, you know, go on a more positive note from now on out.
Sure.
Well, your current girlfriend, Kimberly, as she goes by, she's been tearing it up. She's been to Japan and back several times, and you know, she's been getting better and better in the ring, and, you know, really impressing her all over the place, tearing up with me and everybody else. I'm sure you're proud of what she's doing out there, above anybody else who's watching this, but
absolutely.
Have you made it a point now that, you know, you've done this thing in the past to make sure that you two stay apart career-wise?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, like, the most that we'll do together in certain companies is, like, she may manage, you know, a stable that I'm involved with, or, okay, you know, if that's the case, she may, you know, manage me here or there. But for the most part, we definitely try to just keep it separate. For a lot of reasons, just to not overcomplicate things, not to overexpose ourselves, and it's just like, for the most part, she's trying to wrestle more and more. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, yeah, I'd say for the majority of the time when she's in a managerial role, it's just because there may not have been a wrestling opportunity at that show or that given month. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for the most part, like, I mean, she's trying to get away from that altogether, but so by no means do we ever feel it's necessary to push for more managerial spots, especially managing me or something like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, we're always open to, like, mixed tags and things like that and certain promotions, if it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's pretty
right.
Good of it.
Yeah, it's good to, you know, make everything make sense and, you know, to just kind of do your own things and, you know, support each other. But in the same token, don't just, you know, tie yourself at the ankle because it's probably going to end up in problems.
Yeah, and it can. And it's, you know, it's just not something. I think we both worked better as individuals anyway.
That's good stuff, man. She's doing her fucking thing, man. She's doing
great
stuff.
She's definitely all over the place. And, you know, she definitely has everything going for her as far as, you know, a lot of girls in this business sort of have one of two things. They're either very attractive and can't wrestle worth a damn, or, you know, they're fantastic wrestlers and maybe aren't the hottest girls. But, you know, Kimberly sort of has both. You know, she gets she's very attractive and can actually go. So, you know what I mean? She's definitely got that working for her.
Yeah, got to run with it. But yeah, what do you think that your best or favorite match, if those are two different or whatever the case is, that you've had in your career?
Best or favorite match? I definitely do like, you know, a lot of stuff that I did with Derek Frazier, just because it was really memorable for me. I recall having the match actually that I had with Ruckus at CZW when the whole headbutt incident took place. was pretty solid. I really enjoyed that, just because me and him never got to work much there, and when we finally did, I think we did a great job. Let's see, what else? One of the fantastic fun matches I've been a part of.
Yeah.
Years ago, in one of the Young Lions Cup tournaments, Josh Abercrombie in a really, really stellar match. I'm sure at this point nobody remembers that. Trying to think of some of the other really fun, memorable matches I've had. Oh, as much as it pains me to say it, I actually was a super over babyface once upon a time when we did a charity event in my hometown of Bristolboro, Pennsylvania. I was actually substitute teaching at my high school, my old high school at the time. So, you know, I was sort of the over, really cool hipster substitute teacher, and you know, with the ponytail, and was a pro wrestler, so all the kids, you know, obviously loved that aspect of me. So we decided to run an NBA show there, and the turnout was amazing. You know, we raised like $4,000 or $5,000 for the softball team. The whole gym was packed, and it was me against DJ High. I was the super hometown, you know, Hulk Hogan babyface, and he was Andre the Giant, and it was a night to remember. That's all I could say.
All right. I'll take
it
your word for it.
Like,
all right.
I'll have to show it to you sometime. You'll appreciate it.
All right.
You would not believe it. Like, no, trust me. Coming out of my mouth, it doesn't sound believable that that's how it would go down. But it is.
Anything
how it
with
happens.
DJ in the ring that someone tells me works, I never believe. But, you know, I'm up to new things.
You said that, not me. You said that.
I'm up to new things. Oh, I say it every week. Just about. You know, I'm up to new things. It's fine. I've given the worst wrestlers in the world credit for their best match. So I just listen. You know, I'm not hating. You say it's good, I believe you.
Yeah. It worked for what it was.
Awesome. Who do you think your best opponent was? I mean, you go back Derek Frazier, you know, as far as consistently every time you got in the ring with them, just the best chemistry. You knew that, you know, things were going to be right when you got in the ring with that dude.
Yeah, definitely. I've also, in my earlier years, had a lot of matches with Black G's, a.k.a. Mr. Rashad Cameron.
Rashad?
Rashad, of course.
Rashad.
Rashad.
I know Mr. Rashad. I don't know this other G's guy you're talking about, but yeah. Sounds like you had a history before I just saw him on pay-per-view.
I'm talking about. No, but we definitely had a lot of stellar matches as well back in the day. Like, I remember just being in the ring with him, and I remember the stuff that we would put together would always be very hot, and we certainly weren't afraid to beat the crap out of each other. And,
right.
You know, or, you know, if I was fucking up or something, he definitely wasn't afraid to back chop the shit out of me and wake me up and things like that. And, you know, I recall having a lot of fun with him and trying to think of who else that's really pushed me in the ring or somebody that I've just been really comfortable with. Anytime I've ever wrestled Sammy, that's always exciting. Sometimes you get your face knocked off. But, hey, it's all well and good. Trying to talk to the hell off.
Yeah.
Oh, then there was that time I wrestled Coco Beware. That was cool. He was there. No, I'm just kidding.
No, he wasn't. But he wasn't anything.
He was cool as hell, but he wasn't exactly, you know, wasn't.
Yeah, Eric Tapout has nothing good to say about him, but you know, Miami has much good to say about.
That's actually where it was when that happened.
Oh, was it at PWS?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, I can't really think of anybody. I'm sure I've had some people that I really enjoyed working with, and they really put me to the test, but. As of right now, trying to think of anybody nowadays.
Well, I mean, speaking of that and Birdman and, I mean, whatever else, but we're not, you know, we don't need more Birdman because how many are you going to find? But worst match, something, you know, you went into the match and, you know, you had the match and you're just like, holy shit, that was a fucking nightmare. And, like, you know, still remembers just something that just hope never happens again. Botchamania worthy or whatever, you know.
Oh, man, worst matches. I mean, it would probably be something from a very, very, very long time ago where,
Been the greenest shit that you just learned from. You could have anything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, probably anything from, like, very, very early on. I've had some real stinkers at certain companies, but worst match, I mean, I can't even get into it, but I'll just sum it up as saying anything from, like, my first year, probably, or...
So had a year-long bad match.
There was definitely a tag team match. Yeah, right, exactly. There was definitely a tag team match with me and Jude against Ian Knox and Adam Flash from Delaware at one of the shows that was at Rax. And oh, my God, I don't know what happened, but it was bad.
There's Rax in Delaware? It's not really that much of a city.
What's that?
I said there's rats in Delaware. It's really not much of a city, but okay.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm joking.
Yeah, of course. It was just that entire match was a botch. So,
early tag matches and stuff.
Yeah, definitely some of my early tag matches were a damn joke.
But what was your worst injury you ever, you know, endured in your career?
Probably... Breaking your nose in the middle of a match isn't very fun. But if that's the worst thing that's happened to me, then, you know, I can't really complain.
But when you have a big Italian nose, you can't avoid that, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, you know how many times people knock into this thing by accident? Or, like, you know, I'll just be having a conversation in a group and people ask me to turn my head because, you know, one friend can't see the other while I'm looking straight ahead. It's like a damn divider, this thing. But yeah, I mean, breaking your nose mid-match and then having to finish sucks. And then I also you know, drove my knee into the canvas pretty hard one time, and, you know, I don't exactly know what I did, because I never got, like, a MRI or X-ray or anything like that, but I definitely did enough damage to get a pretty decent amount of fluid on my knee, which ended up having to be drained, because don't ever, 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 ever do tombstones in the ring without your knee pads on, because you'll regret it, and you'll have to get your knee drained, and Hawaiian Punch comes out, and it's not fun. So don't do that.
All right.
But probably the knee injury or breaking my nose are probably the worst things that have ever happened. I mean, aside from that, you have countless very bad bruises, bangs, black and blues, muscle strains, tendon strains, you know, cuts from hardcore shit, from non-hardcore shit. You get busted open sometimes. It's, you know, anything like that, but the worst stuff would probably be my nose or knee.
Now, one of the other questions I had, and I mean, you probably already just answered it with the don't wear no knee pads and then do a tombstone, but is there anything you've done in your career that you just know I will not do that again?
Shit. Well, I mean, in hindsight, it wasn't so bad, but if going back and watching it again, I probably think twice before doing death matches with Nick Gage. That's frightening. I don't know if you ever have done that, but it's terrifying. What else would I not have done? Oh, definitely ever date Noelle Harlow. That would have never happened, that's for sure.
Well, yeah. I mean.
but as far as stuff in the ring, yeah, definitely execute anything without knee pads on. I'll never ever want to do that again. As far as the hardcore deathmatch type stuff, I'll do some of it again. It's, you know, I don't really look forward to doing that ever, if it ever happens, but
if it made sense.
I don't know that, you know, I guess it's like 7 years later now. I don't necessarily know if I would take any double stomps off of a scaffold anymore. I don't know if I might be a little, might be a little too old for that as well.
That was a Derek Frazier move, or?
Yeah. Cage death as well. I don't necessarily know if I would let anyone do that to my back anymore.
No Sanjay Black backflips to the ribs like Jesus,
well,
took on TV?
That's a little bit safer, but probably still no.
I don't know. When he did it to M-Dog, I don't know how good that was.
I remember that.
Even Jigsaw. I don't know. Pretty rough. Yeah, I'm sure a scaffold is a bitch too, but
yeah, I mean, any sort of full body stomps to your neck,
yeah,
chest, and back is not ideal.
Sure. What are your goals at this point?
At this point, I mean, a lot of people have proven that anything's possible. A lot of my friends have recently been the recipient of a lot of success, and, you know, some of them are young, some of them ain't spring chickens, you know what I mean? So
sure.
For a while, I started to kind of count myself out. I just turned 30, and I'm just like, yeah, I guess what can I do now? You know, certain companies aren't looking at you if you're this age, or so they say, you know what I mean? But I've been really motivated as of late as far as getting myself into better shape and just trying to be more compelling as a character, and just the whole networking aspect of wrestling and merchandising and so on and so forth, just to, you know, if I'm going to keep doing this, I'm going to keep giving it my best shot, and because otherwise there's really no point. You really have to put the same effort into, you know, just wanting to be booked every week on the indies as you do trying to actually get to, say, the WWE or the TNA. You know, it's the same as being in a traveling rock band where, you know, if you want to get a gig at the Troc, you know, you still have to work just as hard as if you want to play Madison Square Garden. You know what
right.
I mean? So,
for sure.
And unfortunately, you know, it took me a long time in this business to realize that. You know, hopefully not too late.
Yeah.
Like I said, because of my age and so on and so forth. But
well, that's you on know. You, man. Look what DDP did.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And like I said,
you'll be making a yoga tape in 10 years.
Exactly. I can't wait.
Fucking
why not? Yoga DVD. Yeah, what the hell? Niles Young.
Just badass, too. I got it.
I only know like three positions, but you know, we'll make it into a DVD.
You got 10 years, dude.
Oh yeah, good. I got time to learn.
Yeah.
But as far as like my goals, you know,
Bammar
I like
yoga or some shit. I don't know what they call it.
Bammar yoga, good one. That was really good on the fly. Yeah, it was really good. Hashtag sarcasm.
There you go.
But no, I mean, I still like to believe that anything's possible at this point, and it's like anything, it's going to give me back what I give it. And if I
yeah.
do it a lot, if I put my heart into this, and keep trying, and you know, bust my ass in the gym and training hard, working on my appearance overall, my digital appearance, my you know, my real self, and everything that goes along with, you know, being a wrestling persona these days. I mean, not only do you have to actually be awesome in the ring, you have to look good, you have to have lots of gear, you have to have merch, you have to have a Twitter, don't forget. You know, make sure you're on there tweeting every 5 seconds about what you had for cereal that morning or whatever, you know. And but no,
fucking hate the Twitter, dude. I can't do the Twitter. I'm not a wrestler, so it doesn't matter, but I really can't do the Twitter. Fucking hate it.
Yeah, I resisted for a long time as well, but, you know, like I said, I got to stay up with the times. Got to make sure that everyone's watching.
I have it. I just can't do it.
Yeah, well, hey, it's not for everybody.
No.
But as far as my goals, like I said, same as everybody, be as successful as possible while getting to do something I love. And ideally, maybe do it full time. That'd be great.
Well, I mean, within what you do and within, you know, what you expect yourself to do, what would be your dream matches that you would like to see, you know, yourself work in the future?
Dream matches.
Guys you haven't worked yet that you just love to get in the ring with.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, I guess I'm just trying to think of anybody that I really haven't gotten a chance to wrestle that I'd really like to, or somebody that I've seen work that maybe I just really haven't had a chance to get in the ring with. Try to think, like, off the top of my head, anybody. It's a tough question. Anytime you give me a broad question like that, I'm like, who? There's so many people in the world.
Yeah, that's good. Everyone has their own.
I mean, there's lots of guys that I've wrestled that I guess I probably haven't wrestled in a while that I wouldn't mind wrestling again. People like Adam Cole. I wrestled him years ago when he was first breaking into the business, and, you know, I'm sure wrestling him now would be like night and day. You know what I mean? He's somebody that's had a lot of depth and been a great student of the game, and, you know, it's just a completely different wrestler now. So, like, I'm sure that would be a lot of fun.
Cole's an animal. I think he's, what, 23 years old?
He's definitely a young pup.
He's going to be one of the best. Like, in the long run, he's unbelievable.
I'd really honestly like to just wrestle. I mean, I keep my goals pretty realistic as far as, like, nowadays, like, I'd really like to just wrestle people. Anybody that's going to make me a better wrestler and challenge me to that next level. And just, you know, I still need to learn things, too. I mean, you really never stop learning. And, you know, you can't get better if you continue to wrestle the same guys over and over again. Or guys that are potentially subpar or whatever. You know, I need somebody to help me raise my bar. You know what I mean? I'd like to wrestle maybe the Chris brothers, or, you know, anyone like that. Anybody
awesome
who are just
too.
Awesome wrestlers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you, man. What's your thoughts on the TV product these days?
Just anything on TV, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, WWE, TNA, I mean, whatever you got an opinion on, like, the first thing that comes to mind is like, oh, well, this is fucking up, or this one's doing great, or this one's boring, or,
I think as always, they're still doing something right. I think, you know, for the most part, in order to stay successful, and, I mean, Monday Night Raw is getting ready to expand to 3 hours, is that right, I think? So,
yeah, I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, like, so to say that
2 hours
or to say that your company is so successful that you're taking this program that's normally 2 hours long, which is already, you know, a relatively long, you know,
yeah,
to put on every week, you're expanding to 3 hours, which is a big deal. So, I mean, obviously they're doing something right to be able to basically have a pay-per-view every week. You know what I mean?
Well,
if you think about it.
To
I
say
mean,
that WWE is doing something right is a ridiculous statement, I think.
Well, sure. I'm saying whether we agree with it or not, or like whatever your assessment may be, maybe I don't.
No, I'm saying it's clear that they're doing something right. They're the biggest fucking federation that's ever existed. I mean,
sure. I mean, but you know, they were in danger at one point, obviously, with all the whole Monday Night Wars and all that, and what was going on years ago. But that's neither here nor there at this point. But
right.
I heard that was
USA, that they didn't even want to go 3 hours, and USA said, dude, we want more shit out of you. You're our highest rated thing out there. You're going to make us more money. Give us a third hour. I don't care what you do. And that's
right.
More or less what like made the, you know, them pull the trigger on that. But go ahead. What's your, I mean.
Oh, no, I was just saying that like it's hit or miss with me. Like I think sometimes the WWE product can be more compelling than it is, but I don't necessarily know that I'm in the niche market anymore. Even though I am a wrestler myself and participate in this sport, you know, like you still have to also be a fan in the sense that, you know, be in that age group or be in that whatever that they're actually marketing to. You know,
right.
And I don't necessarily know if I'm in that at the moment or because it's definitely very fan friendly and family friendly and sort of geared towards some younger kids right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I watched Monday Night Raw this past week, and the only thing I could really tell you is that Bob Backlund was out there for a little bit, and I was excited about that. Like, I watched the whole damn show, and I really can't remember anything, so
yeah.
So I guess I wasn't too interested.
So I was going to ask what your favorite thing that they're doing right now is, so I guess the answer is nostalgia?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're not marking out for like all these cameos, then you're not a fan of wrestling at all, and or you're just very young and you don't know who these people are. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I mean, you have to fucking pop for some of these guys.
Well, I mean, me, like, I didn't watch Raw this last week. Actually, didn't watch Raw for the past 2 weeks, which makes me a horrible radio host hosting a wrestling show every week. But I don't really give a shit. I don't know. I prefer the indies. My overall thing is that my breath of fresh air as far as the TV product is the fact that the indies have more or less taken the majority over it. You look at Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Austin Aries. I mean, those are probably the three top TV names right now, other than the people who keep being brought back up. But I think that's really refreshing to the guys in the indies that, you know, it never saw themselves as having a shot when, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of success like that these days. Even with now commonly known as Antonio Cesaro, Claudio.
Right.
You know, like, and Hiro. And those guys were under developmental for a long time.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? And you hear about a lot of these people getting opportunities, and it's great because they definitely deserve it. And, you know, to say that these guys nowadays are sort of paving the way for a lot of people that, like you said, didn't think they were ever going to have a chance, it's definitely a good sign. The only thing you ever have to worry about is the same thing that, you know, every wrestler should, and that's when, if and when these people that have gotten the success will ever come off of the top of that wave, you know what I mean? Because,
yeah,
it, you know, in order for the next person to achieve that success, that next, you know, the person prior has to sort of step aside. And I feel like that's been a big problem just in professional wrestling in general.
I would agree.
You know what I mean? Just guys that hang around for way, way, way too long after they've achieved everything, you know what I mean? And I'm definitely not commenting on the current champions, you know what I mean? Like
right.
Brian and Punk. I mean, they've just sort of
right.
come into their own. But, you know, just there's lots of superstars that have been on TNA and so on and so forth that have just been multi-time world champions in this company or that company, you name it. And it's just like, okay, you know, what else are you really going to do now other than take up the spot that, you know, someone like Austin Aries should have had a longer time ago, you know what I mean? Or,
sure.
You know, there's been plenty of guys that I've been friends with or known for a lot of years on TNA that probably never got chances or title runs or major pushes because of, you know, some superstar that got released or whatever that, you know, was seemingly more compelling at the time. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I just, my thing there is, I think, too, a lot of these people by age are being forced aside, whether they want to or not. Eventually, they're putting themselves out the pasture just by life, you know, is eclipsing them. And the people who are actually getting put in their spot little by little, if you really look, is indie talent. It's no longer your 280-pound, you know, monster. It's actual wrestling talent. And that's, you know, may take more time than it needs to, but in the same token, I think it's actually going to be replaced with more of the guys we know, the guys that we respect as the best wrestlers out there.
Yeah, totally, and that's all you can really hope for, you know?
Yeah, I mean, something to look forward to. Gotta have something. So, yeah, man, I don't know if there's anything else you want to put out there, or, you know, anything you want to say to the fans, or, you know, plug, or have at it, man.
Well, you know, definitely stay tuned as far as everything goes. I'm not a hard man to find. I'm easily found on Facebook /Niles Young. You can always hit me up on Twitter @NilesYoung, of course. And as far as things coming up, you know, don't miss CZW New Heights this Saturday. Of course, I don't have the building address in front of me, but it's in New Jersey, so check that out.
Yeah, I'll read the card off later. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, definitely read off that later. Get that, okay. You know, all that fun stuff. But yeah, man, stay tuned. Check out Excite Wrestling. I'll be up there on the 21st in Binghamton, New York. Stay in touch with Force One. Definitely keep checking them out. Hopefully, we'll have some dates coming up in the future. Don't forget to check out RCW, October 6th, Dew Burns Arena in Maryland. You know, keep fighting a good fight, folks.
Nice. All right, man. Well, I mean, thanks for coming on, dude. You know, it was a good interview. I loved having you on, and you're welcome back anytime you got some shit to say, man. Just hit me up.
Thanks, man. No problem. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it, and definitely, man, hit me up. We'll be in touch soon, man.
Will do, man. All right.
Take it easy.
Night, man. Peace. Yeah, there's Niles Young, man. And, you know, for those who didn't know him before, there you go. I like the dude, which I didn't know he's, but I like the dude. And I think he's a good guy. Came on, gave me a straight up John right there. So it's what it is. I'm gonna let me see, I gotta find a track right here for me to play. Then I'm gonna play a track and then come back and I'm gonna talk some dumb shit. That's all I do. Me and my dumb shit. It's always me and some dumb shit. Like, why do I always, I don't know. Let's not get into semantics. Just gotta find this fucking track. I'm looking for one fucking track. Oh, Jesus, I have too many sound drops, you know? I'm kind of past the age of sound drops because I don't have a co-host. But while I'm doing this, I guess I'll tease this. I am going to be switching the night of this show. I believe this is going to be the last Thursday show. And believe me, all of you who are, you know, fans and like, or listeners, not fans. Nobody's a fucking fan of me. What am I fucking? Jesus Christ. Maybe it's under Nas. Dude, this is retarded. I'm so fucking stupid. So anyway, those who like listening to my shit, this is going to be good because, you see, my biggest friends in the radio business, whatever the fuck you want to call it, is the Wrestling Soup. These guys are the shit. Like, they do thousands upon thousands of fucking listeners. And they plug the shit out of me. You know what the problem is? Is they come on the same fucking night I do. So it's like, they're like, yeah, check them motherfuckers out, you know, on their fucking archive and stuff. And it's like, alright, well, so I'm going to get deeper into this because I'm going to find this track or I'm going to fucking, you're going to hear a gunshot. And I don't got a gun, so that's how long it's going to take me to find this motherfucking track because I'm going to go purchase some shit. And then, but anyway, so I'm going to switch my night up. I think next week I'm going to be doing on Tuesday. And then I think my permanent night is going to become Wednesday. So it's going to give a lot more, possibilities to different things that I'm doing. And it's going to open me up to a whole nother audience. Like, I hope this fucking chat room is going to explode. And I'm gonna have like 20 fucking people in this chat room. And you guys will have a lot of people to talk to. You should have people to talk to about my show afterwards and be like, I like this, I don't like that. I want motherfuckers arguing over my motherfucking opinion. I'm sorry if that's fucking arrogant, but I would like motherfuckers to be like, nah, that guy's bullshit on that. Nah, fuck, normally I agree with him, but that was a fucking asshole statement. And then motherfuckers like, nah, fuck you. That's bullshit. That was the realest shit he ever said. I don't know. I just want, I want this shit to become a good fellowship, something that is actually looked at by a bunch of different people, bunch of different ways, and fucking for real. So, anyway, I didn't find a track I was looking for. I'm going to play this Jada joint again because I like this bitch. And I'll be back in like 4 minutes. Whoa, I found the other track. I'm going to go to this one. All right, for Christ's sake.
So professional. Back, you thought you had it planned, you thought you had your man, he saw you coming, he ran when you tried to blast that man, missed him by inches, he sprinted, some of his boys on the corner was who your bullets entered, two of them pulled through, but one didn't, son's finished, you took the life of him, the part about it that's crazy, you was alright with him, tight with him, why was he in the way, why was he standing next to the enemy, that specific day, his style, never hollers loud, stays reclusive, good dude, got that look, like he always about to do shit, side of his mouth, toothpick, one eye. Brown raised, got into it with dude who's still trying to live out his old wild out days. They never had no problems. Somehow they rubbed each other wrong like a bad massage. These two different personalities had to collide. Niggas cannot aim and innocent niggas die. You ask why, cause of a accident murderer. Act like you killed on purpose. Liars brag you put work in. You ain't mean to murk him, your guns are virgin. Streets are full of them. Read the bulletin. Accident murderer. You just an accident murderer.
We grew up doing graffiti, now hollow heads getting heated. Seated in foreign cars, constantly getting weeded. Proceeded to count profits, I know they got on binoculars. But fuck them all, we ballin' till they come lock us up. 20 to life, I'm clubbing, blowing 20 tonight. We the mob, bar, Marley maulin' all through the night. Addicted to wealth, never go turkey to war. Snatch your tech off the shelf, live forever, that's inshallah. Memoirs of a rich nigga. Sweatsuits, gold chains, old drug dealers. New Benz, chrome rims up a show killer. You niggas accidental, choppers in back of the limo. Pay your tithes, stay alive, can't be dodging my click. Cut a check or use your bitch for some bargaining chips. In the hole, sell your home, nigga, go sell your soul. This 45 in control, God forgive and I don't.
Accident murderer, act like you killed on purpose. Liars brag you put work in. You ain't mean to murk him, your guns are virgin. Streets are full of them, read the bulletin. Accident murderer. You just an accident murderer. Accident murderer. Accident
accident murderer. You just an accident murderer. For my nigga that got killed, got hit up, vodka spills on the concrete, light a switch up, we miss ya. And for that girl who never made it home, shot in the dome, how they gon' kill that beautiful sister? Valid adolescents, homicidal with weapons, not a lot of knowledge inside of their minds and I'm guessing. Tell me who you impressing, shooters, I knew them when they was babies, I used to test them, make them throw up their hands, joke them up playing and wrestling, watch them grow to a man. I see them now, they reppin', but they cold-blooded, homie, wonder where the respect with. Can't play with these little niggas, gangsta little niggas, can't hang with these little niggas, they killin', they reckless, wish I could bear with them, but will it change really? Some real killers, I think of Wayne Perry, think of my nigga Draws, but you want a name, tell me, you ain't mean to kill him, it wasn't necessary. Accident murderer, act like you killed on purpose, liars brag you put work in, you ain't mean to murk him, your gun's a virgin, streets are full of them, read the bulletin. Accident murderer, act like you killed on purpose, liars brag you put work in, you ain't mean to murk him, your gun's a virgin, streets are full of them, read the bulletin. Accident murderer, you just an accident murderer. Accident murderer. You just an accident murderer. Accident murderer. You just an accident murderer.
Alright. Yeah. What it is. And that's, I played that for a couple of reasons. One is that Nas still got it when he wanna. So I played it for that. Another reason is like, yeah, like I just posted in the chat room. I had a friend like that. And what I mean by that is my friend accidentally murdered somebody years back. Now as a dude, I'm going to start telling more fucking stories on this motherfucker because it's my shit and why not? Okay, because I run out of shit to talk about, and then sometimes I think about the shit I've been through, and then motherfuckers, you know, don't get to hear that, so why shouldn't they, okay, so let me tell you this story right quick, and then I'll get back to wrestling or whatever the fuck. I had a friend years back, we're talking, probably now 15 years ago, something about that, my homie Earl, all right, Earl, He was the clown. The dude weighed like 320. He was this big ass black dude, like 320, like 6'4" type shit. You know what I mean? Well, I used to fuck with him. He had the biggest bottom lip I ever seen in my fucking life. But he was the clown. Like he was the clown of the crew. He'd be the one fucking with you, like. He'd be in the back seat when motherfuckers was driving and shit, and he'd be smacking the driver in the back of the seat, in the back of the head, with them fucking screeching their car in the middle of the fucking road, dead ass road. It's late. Most of the car is drunk. Earl ain't even drunk. He's just acting stupid and shit. And then you just hear fucking smack, 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 skrrt, and you just sitting there like, what the fuck? And be like, Earl, stop fucking playing. And that was Earl. That was Earl all day, every day. Like, And Earl was just never the tough guy. Like, he got into his little skirmishes here and there. Like, I boxed the dude. He fucked me up with that because he belly bopped me into, man. We used to box in my homeboy Danny's basement and shit. And it's like, this shit wasn't hooked up for fucking boxing. This shit was his bedroom. So like, he had, like, a wall unit and a futon. And then, like, he kind of pushed the futon over, and then it was, like, this, you know, skinny-ass walls, like a bookshelf, a fucking a wall unit with a TV slit in it and shit like this. So we would go in there and box and shit, and, I'm in better shape now than I've ever been, but in the same token, like, even back then, like, I had quick hands, but that's all I got. Like, I'm not a built-ass dude, you know what I mean? So, like, at most, I would get by on quickness and shit. But you got this motherfucker at 3-something, and he just walk up on you and shit. And he just, this dude belly bopped me and shit. Like, he hit me with his fucking stomach. and that would like drop your hands a little bit and then hit me with some little lazy ass two piece and shit. And I took that for like fucking 5 minutes at least. Just like bop, bop, bop. Fucking, I hit him with a couple quick jabs and shit. Cause we, you know, we try not to like really fucking swing for the fences. It was just like jabs, more or less like playing for points, but it wasn't like points. At the end, we would just be like, ah, you got that and shit. So it wasn't like, you know, oh, I'm trying to kill this motherfucker. No, we were all boys and shit, just chilling. So it wasn't nothing like that, but it was like, you know, he just started like smashing me into the wall units and the fucking bookshelves with his belly. And then he just tagged off on me with my hands dropped. And, so I had my fucking lip look like his shit when we were done with that shit. So it was like, that was one incident and shit. Just us hanging out and doing it, and there was no hard feelings or nothing. Another time we were hanging out in my room, you know, upstairs in my grandmother's house, where I was at, and I had a little bullshit futon, another small ass room, far smaller than my homie's basement, and we was playing some PlayStation. And we were switching off and shit. It was some shit that was like some old one-player shit. And we were switching off. So Earl had a controller. He knew my turn was next and shit. So he was sitting on my bed. I was sitting on the futon. And they're right next to each other like kind of catty cornering. You know what I mean? Like an L. So I'm sitting there. And I'm like, yo, give me the... some shit happened. I'm like, yo, give me the controller, Earl. He's like, nah, fuck that. I'm like, dog, you gonna give me that controller? You know, you gonna give me that motherfucking controller? He's like, yeah, I motherfucker. And just looks right back up at the screen and shit, like I'm not even there anymore. I'm like, ah, yo, Earl, I swear to God, you gonna give me that fucking controller? He's like, yeah, I motherfucker. And looks right back at the screen. I'm like, all right. So I stand up and I'm in like fucking like fight stance. I'm like, dog. I don't know if you're gonna like what's gonna happen, dog. You better hand me that controller. He's like, whatever, motherfucker. I kicked this dude in the chest and then fucking grabbed his fucking head and jumped off, like springboarded off the bed holding his head and shit. And while I'm in the air, I wrap my legs around his fucking big ass body through the grapevines and shit on him and pretty much DDT'd him through my fucking, like, well, I mean, it wasn't, like, my intent to DDT the dude, but I drove him, myself, and his body through my futon, snapped that bitch in the middle, and then fucking wrapped my legs and just fucking cinched backwards and fucking choked him out. He was like, yeah, I give, oh, stop. Whoa, fucking chill. And I'm like, all right. And that was that. So it was, you know what I mean? Like, you would go back and forth with this dude and have a whole bunch of fun with the guy. And he was just like, he was just the guy to fuck around and just to get shit popping. And, like, he was such a great dude to hang out with. And, yeah, you might have to fucking, you know, fuck around with him one time a night. Just because that's just the way he was and that's the way that everybody was within the crew back then. But he was just that dude. And so I moved out here, and I hear like a year later, fucking Earl walks into a fucking convenience joint in Hillside. And apparently he ain't had no motherfucking money, and I don't know where his stupid ass got a handgun, but his ass had a handgun. He walks up in there, and they knew the motherfucker. And apparently, like, the dude that owned the, you know, convenience, the bodega and shit was just like, you know, like, everybody in the neighborhood knew this dude. He was a good dude to everybody. He walked up in there, yo, give me the money and shit. Motherfucker said straight up, stop playing, Earl. Put that shit down, stop playing, man. I ain't got time for this shit. And Earl's like, I'm not playing, like started really getting nervous and shit, because this ain't Earl. Like, this is Earl outside of his box. I don't understand what the fuck happened. And from what I hear, what happened next was, like, dude started going, like, nah, stop playing, Earl, and started to reach under the counter. Earl got nervous fucking and just squeezed the trigger. Shot the dude in his chest. Dude died. And fucking Earl left that joint with no money. Like, he didn't shoot the dude, take the fucking money, and try to make off. Like, He fucking panicked because, again, this he didn't want that shit. You know what I mean? And he fucking left. Well, he was on the run for like a week and a half, 2 weeks. They caught his ass. He'll be in prison until like, I think, 2020 or some shit like that. 2020, some shit like that. And it was just like the craziest shit in my life to hear that dude just ended up in that shit, because he was just the big clown that would like, he'd get you to fucking tussle with him or fucking get into the little boxing, you know, impromptu boxing match in the fucking basement or some shit like that where everybody's all tipsy. But he was the last motherfucker you think would actually go out there and shoot somebody and kill him. Like, that was, he was not that dude. And that's what I said. Like, I knew a dude like that. Accident murderer. Exactly. Accident murderer. Like, it just sucks, man. I hope he comes out there, because obviously you know, you get in the pen and you do like some old murder shit. You get in there and Earl's a fucking easily influenced dude. So he's gonna come out, he's gonna be a Blood or a Crip or some kind of shit. And you know what I mean? He might come out here and now he thinks he's the fucking, you know what I mean? He's King Killer and shit. But bottom line is, dude was always a good fucking dude, and I hope he gets the fuck out of there and decides, yo, I still got a whole shitload of life left, because he was younger than me, and I'm only 34. So, I mean, he was younger than me by probably fucking at least 3-4 years. So, I mean, dude's got a lot of years ahead of him, man. He's probably only fucking 30 right now. You get out, at worst, he's going to be fucking not even 40. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just a crazy thing. I kind of want to tell that story because it's one of those little things that, you know, came across me and stuff. And I just figured maybe somebody could get some enjoyment out of that or something like that. But the dude, he's a good-ass dude. Now I hope to, you know, fuck around, play Madden with him, kick him in the chest again, you know, if you don't give me that motherfucking remote. But I got two remotes, and I only really played like 2-player games right now. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think we're probably good either way, but that's that story. Anyway, back to some wrestling. Covered a little time with that, didn't I? Look at that. Look at me stretching the show out for no reason. Raw. Not much. They played, I didn't watch it. I read it. And I was right for doing it. When I read it, I knew I was right for not watching it. So Raw, they made Hornswoggle the anonymous GM that was typing on that fucking computer the whole time. Which is funny. Which is, no, it's not funny. It's not even close to funny. If you go back then, and I should have did my homework on that, because honestly, like, comes right down to it. I guarantee you Hornswoggle was playing a ridiculous role when they started that shit. So no way would he also be the guy calling the shots. Like, it's just all ridiculous. Like, people forget what went on back then in order to make shit happen now. So that's what that is. Bob Backlund came out, as Niles had pointed out too, and that's cool, man. As far as like old school guys, like, he was probably the longest reigning WWE champion. I could be wrong, but at least in recent, and by recent I mean like last 30 years or something, I think he was, you know, the longest reigning. I think he held it for at least 6 years or some shit like that. I mean, yeah, man, he did his fucking thing. One of the best pure wrestlers, fucking old school wise, that came out, and did tons of good shit. So then they continue to just push this fucking AJ angle up the asshole of anyone who watches wrestling. They did a whole marriage angle now. We're now like, AJ proposed to CM Punk, and then Daniel Bryan proposed to AJ, and this whole bullshit love triangle continues. To me, it's fucking ridiculously sad that AJ Styles is less over than AJ Lee. And honestly, it's AJ Styles' fault. He allowed himself to sit and fucking flounder in that fucking company over there and just be a fucking dude. Just be a filler. Just be whatever the fuck. Just be like a non-fucking anything. Make sure that you're not even fucking noticed for several years in a row. Do that shit. And that's what he does. Wrestle Christopher Daniels 857 times between fucking 2001 and now. Make sure you do that, and then pretend, why don't people care? Like, fucking dude, back then, 01, 02, that was a fucking dream match. That was shit that people were like, oh shit, these guys are tearing it up. Come on, man, we're talking over 10 years later. and you motherfuckers are still working matches. And it doesn't matter. You two have worn your welcome out as far as working each other. You're not done in the business. You're still tremendously talented dudes. But no one wants to see you wrestle each other anymore. Stop it. Fucking cut it out. Tell TNA find some other shit, man. So there's that. That's fucking bullshit. Fucking bullshit. I don't know what Billy's telling me right now. Billy Graham in the chat telling me that story sounds stupid. And I hope he's talking about AJ Styles or AJ Lee or somebody. AJ Lee? AJ Styles? What's stupid, Billy? I don't know. But yeah, they're doing a bunch of dumb shit on TV. And yeah, the love triangle, it is very stupid. But in the same token, like, AJ Lee is playing such a crazy bitch gimmick that it's really working. I told people fucking close to a year ago, fucking probably at least 6-8 months ago, that this chick was not attractive to me. She got a weird fucking face, and she doesn't have any tits or ass. Like, that's not a woman to me. Like, she's built like a child, and she's got a weird face and shit. Yeah, she doesn't have a fucking ounce of fat on her, so of course that part's attractive, but okay, what else you got? So that's my thing with her. Now, I gotta be honest with you. Her fucking gimmick that she's playing here now makes her more attractive. It does. Like, she puts on great facial expressions. She's acting this role out really well. But this role is being overdone. They're going to kill anything they could ever do with her because they're pushing it too far. Too far, too much. That's what it is. Oh, Jesus, I got Billy on. Hey, Billy, what's going on?
Hey, brother, what are you doing, man?
Fucking a show?
I know. I actually caught you tonight. I actually, the cards were right.
So this is Billy Graham, for those who don't know, for Christ's sake. Leader of Cult Fiction. So what's up, Billy?
Yes. The invisiblest faction in the history of independent wrestling in 2012.
Right. So I was talking about the WWE stuff, and
that storyline, just you know me, like I'm out here, I don't have any TV, so like I just kind of rely on Yakuza Kick for my updates, and you know, maybe some clips on YouTube here once in a while. I'll hit that lay in the wall for him once in a while, reading there what's going on. But that sounded just like when you, like, I thought at first you were just funning me. Like, I thought you were making that storyline up. Like, this is what they should do to make it better or something. Like, I can't believe
dude,
that's,
no. I mean,
that's really horrible.
I
thought you, you've been, Jay, you've just been, like, hitting on some really great points about pro wrestling these days. I mean, just really, literally. Like,
you just nailed
it on that. I mean, the bottom line is you can be harsh about it sometimes like anybody else, but. I mean, I think you're right about Styles, about you know, that he but you know, listen, man, to be fair to people, you know, you got to consider a lot of things, man. Like, you know, there's something to be said for being a company man and for being loyal and being, you
but,
know, cool with the people that help get you where you're going, you know what I mean, and stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
TNA,
and you don't
you know,
book it and all
like
that, but eventually you got to get something
but, I mean,
for yourself.
What do people expect? Do people – yeah, no, I mean, but I mean – Do people really ever expect, like, it was going to be, like, the Monday Night Wars again or something? Because if you, like,
Dixie
TNA,
does. Nobody
they have more
logical
money
does.
Than anybody else in wrestling besides the WWE. But
sure.
But compared to Vince, they don't have money. Okay?
Now,
you understand, like, when WCW was happening, this was draining Ted Turner's bank account and Time Warner. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
it's
draining Panda Energy
compared to what they lost on the fall of the .com stocks. You know, when they merged Time Warner with AOL. I mean, think about Ted Turner being a billionaire, making one bad deal in his entire professional life, and ending up losing his fortune, his wife, his business, his. You know what I mean? And it definitely wasn't wrestling, but I mean just. You got to realize that was the, you know, when Bischoff and his guys had unlimited checkbook, it was easy to make a war. And I think Niles made a good point earlier tonight about, well, you know, things weren't always safe for Vince, and it wasn't just the Monday Night Wars was not the thing that almost put them out of business. The thing that almost put them out of business was Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea being a snitch bitch and going and being a witness for Congress against Vince McMahon. I mean, people forget all this stuff. That's what put between the expenditures that Vince made, just all, a similar pattern to Ted Turner, not quite the same amount of money, but the idea of expanding something from regional to national, then worldwide, takes a lot of money. Okay, you're spending money there, you're losing money there. Then you're already extended as far as you can go, and then you got people start getting in trouble and shit like that, and you know they're looking to take the dinosaur down always with the spear. You know what I mean? So you get what I'm saying. In other words, that's the thing that almost killed them. And the thing that saved them was very obvious, man. I mean, the bottom line was checking out what was going on in South Philly, checking out what Heyman was doing, checking out what Stone Cold Steve Austin and Mick Foley were doing, and saying, you know what? Maybe it's not the 80s anymore. Maybe it's almost the 80s. Maybe we need to
take a risk. I got a lot of points to make on
fucking,
that. You got to give me
a fucking prop. Now, how that all got flipped around, it's amazing, because you don't usually see things as far as, like, you know, standards, moral standards, censorship, content, and things
like
that. It seems like ever since it's almost
you made a lot of good points there. I got to comment on the good points you just made.
Oh, go ahead. I'm drinking the beer anyway.
All right. Well, as far as, you know, WCW and them capitalizing on the money that, you know, Ted Turner and all that had, TNA is capitalizing on the money that Panda Energy has, that Dixie Carter's family has. So they're chipping into that same large bank account. Now, also, like you said, the downfalls were the Hulk Hogan's and the stuff like that. These are the same downfalls that TNA and WWE are going to see on the guys that refuse to leave the business and
the older
guys. Yeah. So, but they are, as you said, now, they back in the day, WWE tapped in to that ECW and said, what talent is there? And you look at the talent that came out of that with the Stone Cold Steve Austin, that's questionably the biggest superstar that's come into TV wrestling in the history of wrestling. And I mean, there's a lot of arguments to be put up for that, but who has gotten over, who sold the most merch, all of this stuff.
There's 10 guys that are going to be in a conversation for a long time as far as comparatively era, you know, the value of the dollar at that moment. I mean, it's like trying to say that, you know, like The Rock and Cena just made more money than any wrestling match in history. Well, I mean, I debate that. I'm going to tell you, no company in their right mind is going to release to the public that, hey, you know what? What we just did isn't what as big as what we did before. That's not how hype works. You know what I mean? Now,
Did
it take in more of a dollar amount, total dollar amount? Probably, but I don't know. If you want to go back 20 years ago and compare it to, you know, like Andre Hogan, sold out Pontiac Silverdome, you know, huge pay-per-view.
Still, merchandise-wise, didn't come close to what Stone Cold did, honestly. And Stone Cold's never been my favorite wrestler,
but
I'm just saying.
Stone Cold comes along a little later, you know what I mean? And then the money's changed again, you know what I mean? So,
I know.
No, I mean, but Stone Cold, I mean, bottom line there was, like, you know, consistently making money for them for a long time.
Yes.
I mean, in a very unique thing. But what I was going to say about the censorship and all was, and I think it's tied also to this shit with the guys turn. It's really weird. I was actually, you know, there's only certain things I think about with wrestling once in a while. And for some reason, I was actually thinking about that the other day, about what you're talking about right now, about, you know, young guys getting out and new guys getting in, and how it just didn't work. And I guess what it was is my girl brought over a friend of her son's, was a little older, and he's like 14 or something like that. And he says, you know, she's trying to pump him up, like, oh, yeah, Billy's in wrestling and stuff, and you like wrestling. He's like, I don't like it anymore. So when they got here, she said, hey, you told me you don't like wrestling anymore. Tell Billy why you don't like it anymore. He said, oh, man, he's like, I don't like it anymore because, like, the new guys they have aren't cool. Now, this is a 14-year-old kid.
Uh-huh.
He's like, I don't like it anymore because all these new guys they have aren't cool like the ones before, like, so here's the kid, and he's 14. Okay, what, he's talking about, what, 5 years ago? 6 years ago they were great, now they're not?
I'll tell you why. Because the guys who had established themselves as superstars for many and many years, the Stone Colds, the Triple H's, these guys did not let go of what the fuck they created themselves an aura that no one can beat. Definitely not in a day.
Right.
Definitely not in
a year.
And if when someone comes in and they're like, hey, this guy is the fucking best, and someone else is like, okay, now I'm the new guy, and I'm going to build myself a career those guys had. You can't eclipse that in one day.
I guess that's where I was thinking. That I was like, you know what, I can't believe it just dawned on me the other day, like, hey, like they finally did it. Like they finally gave up that old system. Like they finally gave up. We don't have a 60-year-old man who's going to still be the champion, you know, of the company. And I started thinking about these young guys getting a chance, you know what I mean? I think how it all started was, I think one of my, I was on the phone with one of my buddies, and he asked me about Moxley, you know, and said, didn't he go to WWE? I'm like, yeah. And you know, I was talking about just, you know, with him, the different guys that ever since I became, you know, since I started at CZW and people knew me publicly with wrestling, everybody knows that there's been a handful of guys that from the day I started there, that when I came to the company door, I said, you know what, there are certain guys here that absolutely do have the talent to be with Vince and make money for him and be a superstar in wrestling like they dream
of. Of course.
The first person I always said, man, was Sabian, you know, like I've been the biggest Sabian mark since long before I even started at CZW. I'm a big Blackout fan. We all know that. And I just always thought I'm looking, man, the day I get the budget to make the right movie and stuff like that, I'm going to give him a part for sure. All the Blackout, of course. But I mean, Sabian just has this thing where like, he reminds me of like Bruce Lee or something. Like he can just totally make like a subtle change in his facial expression, and it can play to the back row. You know, where everybody else, you know, you do a lot of stuff. It's like the stage with wrestling. You know, you're playing to the back row, man. You're over exaggerating things and stuff. So everybody, right? But Sabian can do things in a subtle way. You know, that just I don't know. It just always impressed me like that. You know, and Moxie was, of course, someone I said from day one. Robert Anthony was another one that I had, you know, thought would end up there. Sammy, undoubtedly, I think has what it takes to be there.
For sure.
You know, it's just certain cats, you know what I mean? You just see that, you know, there's got to be, look, bottom line, Adam Cole, man. I mean,
fucking 23 years old, man.
You know, like, he's going there. Okay. You know, if he keeps up, if he keeps his shit together, he's going there.
But
because,
this is what I mean.
Certain people are never going to be that mold as long as they keep it such a cookie cutter kind of, you know what I mean? And that's not to lessen anybody either, because you still have to have a very strong, you know, persona as an individual, but it's certain parameters, you know what I mean? Like,
doing summers or
brain damage are never going to be people that, you know, I gotta wonder if Vince ever even thought about it for a minute, like when The Wrestler came out. Now, like, think about that.
Well.
Like, if they would have grabbed Dylan right then, and brought him in as, like, that guy. You know what I mean? Like the complete opposite.
I mean,
of what they did.
The thing with Dylan is,
but like,
the thing with Dylan, the thing with Dylan is he had a lot of different things to offer, but I think he expended the part where he was going to take risks early for little to no money and little to no exposure. So by the time he got exposure, he was just about done doing the thing he was probably going to be
known for,
known for and most highlighted for. And that's what I think. Like,
I think he wasn't
a terrible wrestler. He was like, now I'm just going to wrestle. Well, that sucks, because now the people are looking at you. It's not going to really.
You're speaking of something that's not only, you know, indicative of the situation for Dylan and his career, but I mean, I think just as indie wrestling as a whole and in general, I mean,
this
speaks of all of it, because I mean, let's go with the haters. Let's take my lay in the law CZW fans board guys and start with that thing, right?
That's great.
Well, we all know, man, those guys were at one point the hugest CZW marks in existence. You know,
to a certain extent, but they were also guys that just wanted to get themselves over more than the wrestlers were.
It was something that was happening then. They were younger. They weren't as
But most of them were douchebags then, and they're douchebags now.
people tend to fool themselves that as they age and they get older and they have more experience, they tend to lie to themselves that they become more sophisticated and more discerning. And a lot, 99% of the time, half the shit that those guys are talking about related to the business, we all know, if you really know what's going on, that what they're saying isn't relevant to anything at all. You know,
right.
I watched it. They posted that the other day, that Q&A with Zandig in the middle of the ring in like March of 2007. And they were all laughing about it and everything. And it was strange. And I was there that night. I was getting ready to start with them. But I kind of thought it was cool of John to do that. And I thought it was kind of like...
To do what?
Just, you know, to have the Q&A in the ring, in the arena. You know, I'm like, okay, you motherfuckers want to say something? Like, here I am. Like, ask me whatever you want. You know what I mean? And then people, you know, just try to, like, troll him, bait him from the crowd, you know, demand. And you know, he just kind of, you know, John might not always be the most, like, look, he's a smart guy, man. And he's a calm guy. But he's not going to be overly complex, you know,
right.
what I mean, with explaining something that's very basic to him. So it kind of came off weird because they're like, well, hey, can we have, well, look, man, this guy, like, something went down, man. He did something fucked up, and I don't want to badmouth the guy, but we had to, you know, we have to draw a line here in the sand, like, okay, don't make me badmouth the guy. Then, well, what about this one? What about that one? Well, you know, and then it just kind of sounds like he's not being articulate when he's explaining, well, look, you it's booking issues. You can't, you know. You know, I can't fly two Canadians for $600 a piece. You know what I mean? And the other way, I have to hire six of them. You know what I mean? To have a car, and it's just all that kind of stuff. Like to the realistic dynamic that those haters didn't really get into. And some of it, I kind of like. You know, he said in that thing. He said, you know, the internet's something good that happened to the business, something bad that happened to the business. You know what I mean? And
oh, it is.
You know,
it
that is point,
definitely
like,
a win
like,
and a loss.
One of my things is just kind of like. When everybody in the world is walking around talking about how, you know, nobody gets paid shit to do it, blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, it doesn't take a genius. I mean, you can go in the building. You go to the building every month. You look. You count people are there. You know how much they pay for a ticket. You know how much the building is. You know how much these guys get paid. So you can
right.
see where there's no money. Okay, so it's bad enough that it's apparent if you think about it. But to me, it shouldn't really be something that people keep talking about and keep mentioning, okay? Like... How am I going to buy a storyline of the Golden Boy flying first class, sipping a mimosa and all, right? You know what I mean? And
not anymore.
I love that storyline. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I totally support that. What I'm saying is when 15 minutes later somebody's going to break character and then they're going to be out there and say, well, hey, we only get paid $150, you know, it's kind of like that's a disservice to me because I think that, like, a lot of suspension of disbelief of getting ready to –
goes away because you know what they're getting paid.
Okay? Like, in
but
other words,
of course, when people are killing
– I tried to do that with us, bro. I tried to keep as much attention away from the literal working dynamic of what was really going on at the time. And just say, hey, we are these crazy motherfuckers, okay?
But of course, when people are killing
themselves
and not getting paid much, it's not going to just stay silent.
You know, you got all kinds of things. I mean, you know, you got people with the scruples of John Williams, okay? Like, when a guy does so much bad, it's kind of hard to kayfabe the business.
Never heard of that guy.
Yeah.
But man, listen. Now, hear what I'm saying about the WWE, TNA, and all this. I have a big point to make about this. Now, the old school was, like I said, WWE hit their rough turf. WCW hit their rough turf. Eventually, WCW was gone. WWE had the world at their palms. They were able to take the talent they wanted from the WCW that used to be their competitor. They had the ability to take, you know, this even goes before that split was they had the ability to take anyone from ECW they wanted, the Eddie Guerreros, Chris Benoits, the Dean Malenkos, the Perry Saturns. I mean, beyond that, the Stone Cold Steve Austins. Like, all of this came out of that, them leeching off of the indies to make themselves that bigger of a company. Now, what we're seeing today is we're seeing the CM Punks, the Daniel Bryans, the Austin Aries, the Rashad Camerons, a.k.a. Black Jesus, we're seeing the Scorpio Skies or Mason, well, I don't know what the fuck he calls himself. You know, the Chris Heroes, that's Cassius Ohno, the you know, Claudio Castagnoli, that's what the fuck is he?
Shane
now?
McMahon's bodyguard.
No, he's oh Jesus Christ. It's something that doesn't sound like he should be.
These guys did a big Ring of Honor raid, huh?
And now just recently they just signed fucking Pac. Pac is the best fucking high flyer in the business as far as I'm concerned, and I've been thinking that for a minute. No. Not X-Pac. Pac. P-A-C, capital P-A-C. He's from England. He's been tearing it up everywhere, fucking Germany, everywhere. Gravity forgot. He's
no bad either way, because I like another, you know, one of my typical Philly grandmas, like everybody else. Like, I'm a huge Sean Waltman supporter and fan. I dig the guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. This guy fucking makes that guy look like shit, you know. And I'm not even looking to just disrespect that other guy, but not Pac, like PAC, like the dude is his fucking just plain phenomenal. He always has been. I also heard Sarah Del Rey just got signed. The chick has been the best wrestler in the fucking scene for a long time. And now the fact that she just got signed is fucking awesome. And I heard Karma got cut, and I really don't know the gig as far as what's been going on with Karma throughout. But I heard she just got cut, and I can't even comment on it because she's been off TV for so long, and there was like the pregnancy and like a lot of bullshit rumors, and I'm not gonna speak on rumors, so I don't know, man. But you know, I was really happy to see Karma or Awesome Kong, whatever you want to call her, on TV and on WWE TV and just squashing bitches. And then now Sarah Del Rey signed, and it sucks because Karma got cut, and that's one of the first people I would like to see come back. You know, when Sarah comes in and she runs fucking school on the Divas division, I would love to see Karma pop up, and then Karma and Sarah tear it. It would really make such a face to the women's wrestling, the respect that the women's wrestling should get. Because Sarah Del Rey is just a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete. So between her and Pac, it's another huge plus for the independent wrestling business, because they're going to represent it quite well.
Yep. I was going to say, like, yeah, Aries was another guy. I'm a huge, you know, supporter personally of Austin Aries. I just think he has a great dude, great talent. Davey Richards is there too. I think it's amazing that they finally did have to face, you know, after milking it for so long. And I mean, let's face it, you know, you go back to the 70s, the 60s, the shit with the 80s and the 90s of keeping guys around for 40 years, that wasn't something new to the business. That was the way the business always was. It was just more amplified once the business became such more mainstream, you know what I mean? So I know it was really, really hard. I saw how they struggled for the last, you know, 15 years with the idea of being able to establish new talent. And this is, you know, part of, you know, the territorial system, regional territories with strong companies all over. That's part of the damage suffered there. And it's hard to, you know, it's hard to have someone come in that has a big rep. You know, where back in the day, you know, this guy could come in, oh, who is he? Oh, he's Dusty Rhodes, man. He came from, you know, whoa, shit. You know, oh, that's Wahoo McDaniel. You know what I mean? Well, we know who he is because he's a big man here. You know what I mean? So it's just,
right.
It's not as easy. And I think they really have done a commendable job in the last few years of finally realizing, look, we've got to do it. It should get off the pot.
Huh? Yeah. You there? What happened?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, no, I'm saying I think that it was really cool that they fucking, you know, finally pulled the trigger and had the balls to realize they couldn't keep running the way they're going to. They're not going to be able to depend on bringing Hogan back with The Rock and Ric Flair and, you know, let's bring Superfly Snuka can come this time. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, and believe me, I want the old guys to get a paycheck always, man. They deserve it. They should all be taken care of.
Yeah, but there's the point where it needs to end.
You know, there's disparity in the business. You know, the amount of money being made long already by now, these guys should have been set up with some kind of, you know, better pension, stuff like this, because you're giving your body, your brain, you know, you're having concussions. It's you know, it's look, it's, they ran Jesse Ventura out of that business because he was trying to get SAG to come in and represent pro wrestlers. And if you want to know the truth, maybe I'm wrong now that I'm a member of SAG after in good standing myself. I think that pro wrestlers being represented by SAG would be a huge step forward, just for people being taken care of. I know, like, this will make
as the workers, but as far as the promoters, what goes on?
Yeah, no, those people want to kill me over this, okay, over saying this, okay? But really, I mean, what's fair? I mean, we're not talking anymore about, like, some little regional company that some guy pays for his mortgage on his house with, okay? Like, this is a business with, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars changing hands constantly. You were just talking about the three-hour expansion because it's the top-rated show. I think that's a huge mistake because I think, I don't know, I haven't watched it in a while, man, but it's been a long time since they've been able to give me 2 hours where they keep me gripped. Okay,
like, no, they don't. I haven't watched it for 2 weeks, and I do
think,
a fucking show or talk about wrestling.
I think there's a lot of fucking crap, you know, in that, and I think expanding it to 3 hours is a horrible fucking idea. I think it's going to give people, I don't think they're going to have higher ratings than now. I think they're going to have lower because I think people are going to start tuning out. And that creates a whole really weird dynamic because you've got to do stuff to keep, I mean, remember WCW used to be 3 hours on a Monday night. And
right.
You know, it's like, it was too much, man. And I'm, you know, we're all big wrestling fans, you know what I mean? But 3 fucking hours, you know, now said, oh, like a pay-per-view. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Yeah. Like a free pay-per-view every Monday night. It's got something more exciting going on than what you deliver in the end of the storyline at the pay-per-view. The pay-per-views have been suffering like that horribly for years. Usually the Raw, the Monday night after the big pay-per-view is usually better than the pay-per-view was, you know what I mean? Because they got to start something new, you know? You got to get your interest. You know, I mean, we all know, like, one of the biggest heartbreaks of wrestling is, like, no payoff, man. Like, too many times the business doesn't pay off. Like, storylines get dropped. Things don't go anywhere.
But you know they're going in, honestly. I mean, it's just the business is fucked up. And these guys bust their fucking ass for their fucking love of the business and wanting to do what they do. And, yeah, they get paid fucking far less than they deserve. But, I mean, again, I go back to, you know, guys like Black G's. This fucking guy, you know, he's been disgruntled. He's fucking, you know, he said a lot more than he probably should have towards more companies and all of this. And, you know, people hated on him, and DJ cut him off the fucking roster page fucking 5 times. But you know what? All of a sudden, they're forced to talk about him because G's was on WWE TV. 2 weeks later, he was on fucking TNA fucking TV. 2 weeks later, TNA pay-per-view. Now, he's about to go in an ROH fucking tag title fucking situation, a tag title tournament with Ruckus. See, some people miss the fucking boat, and some people just don't give a fuck, and they just continue to force forward. No matter who's missing the boat, no matter who's paying them right, they fucking bust their ass and just go tunnel vision and just fucking do what this business was meant to be, is pride and passion and fucking heart. And that's what my dude G's fucking believes in. That's why he's still here, because he's been disgruntled a million times, and I'm sure you've heard it. I'm sure everybody else who's been around him has heard it, because he's an outspoken dude. But I respect that, and that's why he's getting his due now, because some people fall off and some people really shine. And I don't know, man. It takes it's a hard fucking road. This is nothing that anybody should recommend to anybody that they love, because these guys got to go through some shit to actually make it, and G's has done it, and I hope this is actually the breakthrough, because it looks like it.
Yeah, I hope it is for him too, man, because he really fucking deserves it, man. I mean, like, I fucking wish they'd take Robbie up with him, man. Well, and Claude, but, and Bill, what the hell, wish they'd take them all.
What?
And, I wish they'd take the whole blackout in the fucking WWE, you know what I mean? Because I think they could all work for him, you know what I mean? I think Robbie
absolutely.
Would be great,
well, one guy at a time, man.
We all know how Vince doesn't like...
they don't take package deals like that.
yep. What I was going to say is earlier, you know, to have all those things that come in the business, I mean, they've done a pretty good job with that, you know, long already, like, I mean, you know, it's been a while. Like, we really haven't been plagued with, like, a lot of wrestling scandals. And it's recently, let's say, you know what I mean? And it might not,
all right,
you know, it might, you can call it whatever. You can call it cleanup, you can call it damage control, whatever. But that's neither here nor there if you're not working there. You understand what I mean? Like, people concern themselves too much with shit they shouldn't concern in everything. Why did Tarja leave Nightwish? Oh, Tarja tried to wreck Nightwish. Da-da-da-da-da. No, Tarja started Nightwish. Well, bottom line is, guess what? They're a cool band. They make awesome music. You either like it or you don't. You watch the videos. You listen to the songs. It rocks you or it doesn't. You're a consumer. You go to wrestling. You watch the show. You see the storyline. You watch the physicality. You listen to what the guys spit out on the mic. It either entertains you or it doesn't, right? But as soon as you get yourself into, like, constantly talking about all this behind-the-scenes shit and what went on between so-and-so and so-and-so, like, really, when you really examine that concept at its core, it's pretty much mental masturbation. I'm not in Nightwish, okay? I didn't sign a contract with Tarja, okay? I don't work for fucking Vince McMahon. I don't know if he tried to make the ref blow him or not. I wasn't there. You know what I mean? So it really shouldn't concern me. The only thing that should concern me is what I'm consuming. You know what I mean? And as soon as it gets, because all I'm saying, you know, talk about what anybody wants to talk about, but the bottom line is, it's just, you can't really call it intelligent discussion because it's all speculation. And that's what I meant about the shit on the boards. Like, those people aren't dumb, and I realize they got a passion for it, but so many times, bro, you know, like, the things they're harping on, and why don't they just do this? And it's not based in anything that's reality. It goes right back to what I was talking about the no payoff. Like, I didn't understand it when I was a kid. Man, what happened? Man,
right.
I had a big build-up with that guy. Now, where is he? What happened? Why'd they fuck that up? Oh, well, you know, you don't understand things about where somebody lives, where else they're going to go work, other money they're getting for this. This guy's hurt. You know, and, you know, that's the part. The bottom line is wrestling isn't real, okay? And the thing is, what's going on in the real world is going to still affect.
Still real to me, damn it.
You can, yeah, it's just real to me too, Buck, you know. But you know. You know what I'm saying? What you're seeing in the ring and in a storyline and how it plays out and in a fictional thing and everything like that, it's affected by things that shouldn't be the center of attention. You know, like whereas like my buddy there, John Williams, like everything that he did became, nobody was talking about anything that was going on in the show. Ever. 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 It was always about some antics going on in the back room, you know? And I give the WWE credit for that.
Just Christmas. It's not even about Santa anymore. It's all about fucking
Jesus!
You know?
Yep.
Who asked for that?
That's awesome. Hey, man, can you, like, what would Devin Moore say about that?
Fucking bullshit, cause you fucking talking about Ian, he fucking paid me. Not a fucking, maybe it was $5. I fucking got a pack of cigarettes. I fucking know that much, cause fucking bullshit. Come on, Billy.
You know, I mean, maybe something like that, but otherwise, I don't know.
Oh, my God. I want to do a video with you two together as, like, some kind of, like, the Zad Zeus brothers or something.
He kind of cracked a smile because I was just fucking drunk at Tournament of Death and just yelling him. I was yelling at him in the first round as Devin. Yes. In his voice. And he kind of passed me and sort of cracked a smile, but then just kept walking and never. Never looked back at me.
Tournament of Death 2012 should be called Jay versus the World, man. Should be the name of that show. They should rename the DVD.
No, it should not. It has nothing to do with me.
I think that would be really fitting, man. Come on, have a sense of humor about it now, bro. You know.
Well, no, I refuse to take credit for that awesome tournament.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Fucking Georgie Boy versus the World. Fucking Georgie Boy wrecked shit in the first round. He was a fucking ref. He was an awesome ref.
I heard he was a wreck, yep.
The best ref in
CCW.
Sorry, Nick Papa Giorgio. And only Nick Papa Giorgio.
You know, I love Nick. Nick, I miss Nick, man. He's
nice, awesome
guy. I know you and me talked personally since TOD, but I just would, I guess I should say that since I got the time to say it here. Like, you know, all throughout the tournament, during the matches, I mean, during the drunken three-way match or whatever, I mean, I've got, you know, friends and fans that are calling me from the crowd, you know, from Delaware, from DJ's backyard, you know, to me in Los Angeles, and I'm listening to TOD as it's happening. Oh, my God, you know, 13's got the Jaeger. Oh, fuck, he's really drinking it, you know, like shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
All that and all the way on. So I just I talked to 13 the other day. I got to catch up with him, which was really, really nice.
Right.
Trying to catch up with another one of my former, my soldiers, whatever. I'm trying to catch up with him. Because there's some things going on with Cult Fiction that people don't know about right now. It's going to be pretty cool. That's going to be a surprise for some people. But and it's not. I'm not going to be in Philadelphia this weekend or nothing like that. Okay, and I don't want anybody to drive from Ohio to see me, and I'm not there. But
neither is DDW. So
you can say whatever you want about Half-Breed Billy Graham. But one thing that nobody in the goddamn wrestling business can debate is Billy Graham put asses in those motherfucking seats, dude, okay? Like, I packed them in, like, I was like a minor version of, I was like a combination of Steve Austin, The Rock, and Hulk Hogan all combined. Because, I mean, how, it was like, the whole time, man, I was there, man.
XRO,
people lining Ritter and Swanson with signs. We came here to see fucking Billy Graham, you know what I mean? How do you lose that, right? How do you lose that kind of drawing power, you know what I mean, when the business goes sour? I caught up with 13. I heard a lot of shit about the show. I the night of the show, man, Larry the Legend got a hold of me and had a nice, really long talk with me, man. And, like, it's just, like, all you guys, man, that have been still – keeping, like, Drew Gulak, man, I'm not trying to ruin anybody's business here, but Drew Gulak, man, love you, brother, man, one of the best people, like, ever in the wrestling business, and I know that doesn't go with being a heel, but that's just tough shit, because it's often real. Blackout, man, my fucking brothers, love him, respect him. I mean, Larry the Legend, I mean, just certain people, you know, 13.
They weren't on that show, what do you mean?
What's that?
No, I mean, you just mentioned, like, three people that weren't on the show.
Oh, no, I just meant that, you know, in general.
You're like, that show, and then there was Drew Gulak.
Was thinking of, you know, I just wanted to mention everybody that's been reaching out to me like that and just being really, really cool. Because, you know, it's been, you know, Jay, because you faithful Yakuza Kick listeners, my
Yakuza.
Me and Jay are actually real life brothers, and we actually really talk in our real world.
Billy's my fucking boy.
But likewise, I mean, I am a huge Jay Mark, okay,
Jay Mark. I've never even heard the term.
I just coined it, brother. I just coined it, and we got to get that on shirts too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not trending.
Dude, it's not trending at all. Jay Mark.
I just checked Twitter. It's not trending. And
okay.
I never checked Twitter. So I'm just saying, dude. I mean, I thank you for that, dude. Either way,
it's really nice to everybody that's stayed, you know, to be, you know, like, it's just like, that's not, you know, is that real in this world? You follow what I'm saying? I don't know, man. I'm a man of many words, but sometimes I get a little choked up. I'm just saying that for people that have went out of their way, you know, to maintain some kind of friendship with me and relationship with me and, like, respect for me and, you know, still like what I did. I mean, even today, every day, man, a day does not go by, man. I don't get some fan and who I just consider a friend, you know, but every day, dude, I get hit up. Cult Fiction. We want Cult Fiction back. We want Cult Fiction to see that. Is Cult Fiction going to be somewhere? You know, and it's heartbreaking because, you know, it's like, how can something hit such a nerve with people that never even was given a chance to block? I mean, it's not sour grapes, but I mean, so many people got so many more chances to take their shit all the way. You know what I mean? And I'm never going to stop saying that we were held back because we were. You know what I mean? And that's. A big complicated story. We know that. I'm over it. I don't, like, you know, I understand this is how shit works when you're working with a bunch of people. One person said that Summer put me down. One person said to me, bottom line, Billy, is that you were too nice of a person. You know, like, you were sincere and you cared and you were trying to elevate everybody. And so they victimized you, you know what I mean? Because they're not used to having people that are out for everybody, you know what I mean? You're suspicious by being out for the team. You know what I mean? You got to be out for yourself first, or there's something you're hiding or there isn't right about you, because you've got to be a shitty motherfucker or else you're just not cool, you know? And I don't know about all that. I the one thing I do get to see is I do see most of the promos everybody's been cutting. You know, I'll always enjoy Masada talking just because I love the guy. Danny and Devin and my buddy 13, they crack me up periodically. I'll always enjoy. Oh man, I'll tell you what, I love the Blackouts promos against New Jack and his boy there. That we were talking about that.
But I hear you. But New Jack cut fucking ridiculously better promos through that. New Jack cut probably the best promos in his career against those guys, and I gotta think that it's out of respect. And that's it, man. He cut five promos on that match.
That's only logic. It's absolutely respect. There's
and as far as I know, that match wasn't shit.
But come on, we all know this, man. Like, New Jack will bury a motherfucker, like, in a minute, you know?
Yeah.
He's a real outlaw. He's not some conformist in the business, man. And you can love him or hate him, whatever. I mean, I don't know. I was always kind of, like, a fan of the character.
I have a love-hate relationship with New Jack.
I'm respectful of the character, okay? I enjoy that. I'm even more respectful of the idea that even if I don't float totally with everything that a person decides to do in this world or anything, the fact that they'll be a real individual and be themselves, even if that self sometimes
is really
for me, it's still something that I can respect. Okay, like I really
did you hear he beat the shit out of Ball
I don't got a lot of love of the idea of going into a staged combat and someone carrying a weapon with the intent that if something gets dirty, they're going to fuck someone up. That scares me because we should never get to that point. That's
not
how
good.
The business is supposed to be, you know what I mean? Now, on
not.
The other hand,
he did beat
I
the
never,
shit out of
I
balls
thought,
off
I never,
camera.
Never thought the guy was like some kind of like, I mean,
Lasha.
Like, I think he, bottom line is, I think the only reason he got over was because of his character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that there was, I don't think that he, like, I'm not trying to, I'm just giving my honest opinion as a couch potato wrestling critic. Like, you know, I think there's guys that have, you know, 10 times his physical talent to do a match never get a hundredth as far because just right there, character. And yeah, I mean, look, that's another bottom line of the wrestling business. Ox Baker never took a bump in his life. He didn't need to. He was 6'7", 310 pounds. Ox Baker. I mean, in his day, you know, people weren't that big like that.
6'7"? What do you mean?
Ox didn't have to take a bump. He was 6'7" back in his heyday. Yeah.
6'7"?
People shrink when they get old. Trust me, he's still taller than me, and I'm 6'4". Okay. It's like, you know, he didn't have to because back then his physicality and his continence was so impressive, he didn't have to do anything. Come out there, make ugly face, yell at him, punch a guy in the face, cinch him up and hold, you know what I mean? And it worked, you know? New Jack isn't different than that in that respect, you know what I mean? That wrestling's always been about getting the character over more than anything, you know? But I don't know, man. It was weird. Like, back in 2008, like, you know, he was like my friend on Facebook and like all
New
the
Jack.
One day.
Yeah.
This is like all these new pictures of Cult Fiction in some match in CZW went up on my Facebook or whatever, and like all of a sudden he's on there on my wall and he's like, I'll beat every motherfucker in Cult Fiction's punk ass, blah, 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 blah. Like, he's just like going off, like, on my friend. I'm like, dude, I'm like, are you smoking crack? Like, this is my Facebook page, okay? Like, it's not a wrestling promo, it's not really like, are you all right? You know what I mean? Like, just start fucking with him, you know what I mean? Because I don't know the guy, you know what I mean? We're a lot of common friends, but. But man, you're doing a bang. You know what? You don't have to worry about being alone on the show either. You were entertaining highly, and I hope your boy there in the joint gets his shit straightened out too. I appreciate that story.
Thank you, dude. Let me tell you the New Jack story, and then I got to get on a New Jack rant and tell you my feelings from top to bottom on him.
Awesome.
It's gonna take me a minute. All right. Well, the New Jack New Joint story, which Brent really wants to hear, that he put out on a Mass Maniac show, which I think Mass Maniac is a fucking fraud. He's a piece of shit. He's a cancer of wrestling. He's the everything that's wrong with Frank Goodman. He's everything that's wrong with wrestling promoters, and a Mass Maniac is his wrestling persona, and he thinks that that is credible.
He lives in a multi-million dollar house.
Is
this the same outfit that had the pedo photographer that was trying to step up to you and shit?
The what?
You know that, the pedophile photographer guy or whatever. Is this the same company?
No, that's ECWA.
Okay.
And he
okay.
still works there,
Sorry.
By the way.
Okay.
So... No, that's Super 8, Super Pedo 8. Here's where it goes. So, okay, New Jack loves Frank Goodman. He loves that big jacked up. He looks like Frank Goodman looks like, if anybody's seen Despicable Me, he looks like
yeah.
that guy on steroids. And Frank swears he never done steroids, but that's fine. He's a big jacked up dude. He's made millions of dollars off the independent wrestling business. And never worked a fucking job until he moved to Florida. He lives in a multi-million dollar fucking house in Florida and just got everybody else to pay for his fucking show.
Is he hired for years?
Of USA Pro. USA Pro that was here before fucking Jersey All-Pro. All this other shit. That was Frank Goodman's promotion, and he ran it off of ticket sellers. He got vendors and ticket sellers and all that shit to pay for his shit and pocketed the fucking money. And all these fucking independent wrestlers who became fucking superstars today, he still only considers ticket sellers. If you ask him, what do you think about this promotion? He'll go, why would I watch somebody else's promotion? That's not making me any money. That's his opinion on wrestling. So he's a cancer. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck how big he is. I don't give a fuck how bad he is. He can suck my dick backwards. That big, fat Jewish motherfucker.
When Niles was on earlier, he said, you know, he was talking about, you know, you got to be a fan. Even though he's in the business, you know, you got to be a fan. And he's not sure what, you know, that he's in the age group anymore that they're marked. Well, he's not in the age group they're marked
right.
to anymore. But he just said that.
So anyway.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that because, like, to me, anybody that's not a fan of
and he's Jewish, so
bloggers,
here's Frank Goodman. Here's Frank Goodman on his show every week. He's a ticket seller. He should be paying me money to work my show. He's a ticket seller.
Every single one of them has been a cancer.
Right. So
every one
anyway,
of them that's not
so New Jack
a fan,
goes on his show this past week. And I'm gonna again, I need some time, man. I got a lot of things to cover here. New Jack goes, so anyway, Frank, I go to the show, right? This motherfucking balls. He went in there and he called me a nigga. He got to be out of his motherfucking mind. I killed this guy. I told him I'll kill this guy if he called me that shit. Once, just one time. That's all he had to call me that shit. So guess what? I see him in the locker room. I say, yo. Hey, New Jack, I don't want no part of that. Yeah, I put it on. I fucked him up. I fucking beat the shit out of that guy. He was quivering on the fucking floor like a bitch. Like a bitch. I never seen a guy curl up in a ball like that. He was a bitch. Everybody said, I thought Balls Mahoney was a badass. Well, now you see him. Now you see what he's doing. Looking him on the floor. That was New Jack's whole shit.
I mean, how long?
And
he
was just like,
bottom line, look,
wow.
I've only ran into Balls a couple times. He's been a nice guy to me. I don't know New Jack, but, you know, They do go back a long way, and, like, you know, I know I wouldn't be talking no shit on New Jack.
No,
now,
you
like,
shouldn't.
You know,
he's badass.
I mean, when he was dogging my boys and shit, I piped back to him. Like, what the fuck are you smoking crack, bro?
I've talked a good amount of shit to him on Facebook, too, and I'll get into that in a minute, too.
He'll kick my ass, you know what I mean? But you know what? I'm not going to fold up on the floor like a bitch. I'm sorry.
I hear you.
And Baltimore is three times my size, but you know what? Like, the one thing he would be saying about me, he would go, I killed that fucking skinny fucking nigga. You see him, man? He fucking blah, 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 blah. But you know what? That fucking guy, he swung at me. You know? Like,
yeah.
I was just always taught, like, you know what I mean?
Nah, he'd be like, that motherfucking cracker right there, he had a nerve to swing at me.
Yeah, I tried to kill him.
But
you know what?
I put some shit out of my pocket. It was like this long. And I stabbed him in his gut.
He bled. The only time, bro, when you don't, has to do with honor, dude. And that's like, if you know you're fucking wrong, dude. If you fucked up and you did somebody wrong.
New Jack ain't got no motherfucking honor.
I'm just saying as a general principle.
Jerome,
you know,
whatever
what I mean?
The fuck.
Like,
yeah,
if I wronged you, bro, you know what I mean, and you feel like whooping up on me, and I know I wronged you, and you're my friend, I won't raise my hand. You know what I mean? I'll let you hit.
So here's my thing
as
far as
in that situation, I don't give a fuck if he's fucking Andre the Giant, dude. You ought to get at least one in because you're gonna look worse. He ruined business for Balls because I got you, dude. Your comedy bit on it was the best. You doing him. But, you know, it was all over the internet and everything like that. It's like, what was what was he hoping to accomplish by saying so? He knows this fucking guy. You know what I mean? Like, what was he hoping to accomplish? Did he think he was suddenly going to grow fucking bigger balls than him and kick his ass when he saw him? Or what, he was going to convince him that some other motherfucker did it? Because why would you just wreck business for yourself?
It was tons of shit, and he just took fucking liberties.
Yeah, fans
on.
All talking about how he was banging his head, looking dazed and bruised, and oh, he wouldn't even come out and sign autographs, even when it wasn't true. I mean, you saw how everybody jumped on him. You know what I mean? They just no mercy.
Bottom line here with New Jack, here's my problems with New Jack. First off, he's never played himself as a wrestler for 1 minute, even though Billy Rail, who caught me a good amount of heat this week, and I'm not even going to get into that this week.
What?
But offline, man. I'll tell you.
Okay.
A lot of shit there. Which again, this is gonna go really deep. So I ain't getting on online. So the New Jack thing, I had asked him like months and months and months ago, fucking probably 6 to 8, almost a year ago. Was like, dude, come on the show. I was fucking back and forth with him like for a couple hours on Facebook. And we were really chatting up, me and New Jack. And he was like, yeah, I'm down. I'm like, let's do this, homie. I'm so hyped to have you on the show. It was like the next day. I woke up in the fucking morning and he's like, sorry, bro. I just realized you're on Blog Talk. I don't do Blog Talk Radio. Peace, homie. And I'm like, what the fuck are you? What? So I'm like, what the fuck? My fucking online provider just cut this shit. Like, what the fuck went on there? So now I was just like, okay, fine.
How'd they get war?
So I'm like, that's some old bullshit.
Independent on there. You're just paying to have your show on there.
So I'm just like, okay, that's some old bullshit. So I'm just like, all right. So I just let that go and whatever, fuck. And then, like, I made some old comments, and then he deleted me from his Facebook and, you know, all that bullshit, because that's what a thug does. And then from there, I was just like, all right, well, I mean, it is what it is. You know, I respect him for what I respect him for, and I don't respect him for what I don't respect him for. I mean, there's pluses and minuses. I wouldn't fuck with the dude. I mean, that's never gonna change. Like, he's a real ass dude that you don't want to fuck with.
As far as being
a professional person. As far as being a fucking credible wrestler, he has a lot to prove on both of those fucking standpoints as far as I'm concerned, because you can't beat my ass and prove neither one of those things.
Right, and not only that, but I mean, because when I went back, you know, back to what I was saying earlier about the shit that shouldn't be being talked about, you know what I mean? While on one hand, I could respect someone for being a real fucking person, on the other hand, like, see, he didn't choose his battles, man. Like, in other words, he's talking about everybody else being bitches and all this other shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, like, any controversy there is, anything that's to be said, you know, you look it up. Oh, YouTube, you know, oh, it's the Iron Sheik and New Jack and Justin Credible, you know, shooting on Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean? Like, you just, like if there's something to be said about something going on, New Jack is saying something about it. You know what I mean? And he would have a lot more, he'd probably have a lot more stroke if you would have saved it for, like, picking and choosing. Not just, like, anytime there's shit, say something. But, like, wait till the big one, you know what I mean? And then fuck.
So he's like, I don't do the bullshit
interviews.
He's the kind
of person that affects the business. Because you know what? All the bitching and complaining, this guy's a bitch and that guy's a bitch and blah, 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 blah. And he stood up and he didn't kiss nobody's ass and all that, right? But, like, did he change the business? Did he help it? Did he make it better for workers? Did he make it better so people didn't have to do the shit he wanted to? Or did he just mindlessly lash?
He just does him. And that's just what it is.
You know what I mean? And, by doing that, he limited himself.
Right.
I mean, you know, like where he could go. I mean, right now,
it was like,
think of the, Think of the indie people that would like to hire him but are scared to.
Okay? No,
like,
needs
just think about that. Scared to hire the guy.
Right. So then sometime last week, he did some whole fucking bullshit fucking fucking blog talk radio show. And as soon as I seen him post on, he's like, I'm going to be on this show in like an hour. Hurry up and post questions. I seen blog talk radio / whatever. And I'm like, oh, bro, I thought you didn't do blog talk. And then he fucking responds to me, hey, Jay, get over it. And then he puts in caps, nobody knows you. And I said, first off, I never said anybody knew me, so I agree with you, but I'm just saying. And then I went back and listened, and he liked that comment because he's like, oh, wow, he's admitting that nobody knows him. Yeah, they don't. I'm not pretending like I'm anybody. I'm just doing a fucking show, and I asked you to be on it, and you no-sold me. So then I listened to the show and realized that what they did is they booked through the company, not through a person. Like, every single person I've ever booked on this show, I booked through that person. So they booked through ECW reunion shit, and they wanted Shane Douglas. Shane Douglas pulled off, and they said, we'll give you somebody else, and gave them New Jack. So the company made New Jack to a fucking interview he didn't want to do. Gangsta.
Oh, shit.
So then he goes on here and does the shit. And then boasts on the fucking internet, oh, I'm finally done with that fucking interview. And shit like this. So I said, hey, man. I just posted afterwards because I went and listened to it. I said, hey, man. And I seen a bunch of people post, hey, great interview, Jack. No thanks to those hosts. And I'm like, by the way, Jack, this is what gives myself a bad name. Those fucking geeks are what makes me look bad and makes people such as yourself hesitant to do shows like mine. I ain't harping on it. I'm just commenting on the content. And I got no response. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's because motherfuckers don't understand that I'm far fucking realer. I don't give a fuck. Oh, can I fucking beat up New Jack? What, are you fucking crazy? He'd fucking kill me. This isn't me being a badass. This is me being real. This is me talking my fucking opinion. That's all it is. Am I realer than the fucking majority of nerds on these podcasts? Yes. You want to put me in the battle royal with them? I'll probably be in the fucking final five at very least. But let's be fucking real. Don't treat me like the rest of these motherfuckers. Just don't. If you don't want to do none of it, fine. If you want to do some of it, give me a fucking shot. Otherwise, get out of that, man. Just fucking leave me alone. Don't come out here with that, I don't do fucking blog talk, and next thing you know, I hear, well, we were supposed to have Shane tonight, but New Jack, what were you thinking with that gangster thing? Well, bro, listen up, man. You know, it's like I'm kind of like where I am and shit. So, I mean, motherfuckers don't understand this shit. I go out there, fucking play me wrong, they go get handled and shit. Well, that's great, New Jack. I mean, it's like, I don't know, man. I mean, if you want to deal with that shit, go ahead, man. You'll get 100 fucking requests for that dumb shit, but I'm a little bit different, and it's just like, I don't like to get lumped into that group. I am definitely not the most professional shit out there. There's people a million times more professional than me. There's a million times better podcasts than me. I'll never claim to be the best. But as far as doing what I do, I'm not just going to be lumped in there with the rest of the nerds that do podcasts. Like, dude, it's not like that. So that's my thing on New Jack. And I don't know, man. I respect him for what he does. I think he's actually probably one of the best promo cutters that the fucking business has had for a long time, because when he does actually get into it, like all those joints he did for the Blackout, like, nah, the dude has fire. to put out there to the public and just really, like, make you feel like he's going to kill somebody. And maybe partially because he's legitimately crazy and he'll actually kill you, maybe that feeds into why he's so believable. But
yep.
It is what it is, man. I mean, he's just – he's very good at his promos. I don't know.
Yep. Yep, he sure is. Yeah, well, like I said, but I think he probably should have chosen his battles a little. You know what I mean? He just should have chosen his battles a little more wise, man. It's a shame because I think I don't think I'm saying Vince McMahon would have ever signed the guy, but, you know, it's just like I think he could have done more. I don't know. Like, I think maybe he could have been somebody bigger in TNA or something. You know what I mean? It's like.
Well, with a certain angle and a certain restraint, I don't know if Jack has that restraint. I really don't.
Yeah. That's basically what I'm saying. I just don't think he does either. You know what I mean?
I don't think he has that restraint. I'll never question his realness, but I will question his professionalism every day of the week.
Yeah, I just think he kind of missed the boat with that. He took his own shit in a certain direction that he just limited himself. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, he just – I think he could have chose his battles more wise, and I think that with his will, you know, and his realness, he actually could have been a guy that – well, like you said, he does himself. But I think it's a shame because I think really – with some of his better personality traits, I think he's a guy that could have been someone that could have really helped everybody out in the business and stood up if he would have been more out for the team.
Sure.
You know, but I mean, look, bottom line is, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say this, okay? This is some Freudian shit, okay? Any fucking psychiatrist would fucking look at New Jack, study the whole fucking situation. They would definitely put the P word on him, and that word is paranoid. Okay, like, that's the anger, that's the angst, that's the thing that everybody's at.
He's definitely ready to jump on
motherfuckers.
For what? I don't know.
The business did breed that in the people, because the way so many people ran the business was to be out for yourself, and this is the only way you're going to get anywhere, you know what I mean? But shit, man, when this shit starts getting big like this and everything like that, like, I mean, sooner or later, man, more people have to stand up for, hey, how about us instead of just me, because I don't know, man. Like, I understand that wrestlers are, back to that thing about the union earlier, listen, man, actors are independent contractors too, man.
Yeah.
Okay, they might work through a union, a lot of them, but they're still independent contractors, okay? But SAG and AFTRA still, if you earn a certain amount of money a year, okay, you're building toward, first of all, you get medical benefits, okay, and then secondly, you get a pension. You know, how can anybody not realize that it's just so behind the times? Now, I can understand.
Unless SAG is
going to
support every professional wrestler out there.
A little independent company cannot pay for a pension plan, medical insurance, AIDS testing, PEP testing. It's not going to work. There won't be any independent companies. But when you're a company level of the WWE, look, bottom line, I'm going to say this too, even TNA. Look, they could spend uncountable money on paying these guys like high salaries. I mean, guys, I love Kurt Angle. Okay, I think Kurt Angle's one of my favorite performers ever in the business, man. And I got like a lot of mad respect for the guy, and I got a lot of mad respect even against some of the fucking public shit that's been put out there against him, because I know how shit works, and I have like a lot of
to a certain extent. Go ahead.
People that had you know, personal dealings with Kurt and stuff like that seem to think a lot of the guy, you know. But what I'm saying is, when he went to TNA, with the amount of money that the company was really expending, you know, what their expenditures were at that point, and with what they were selling and everything else like that, was he really worth the amount of money they paid him at that time? Okay? Like I said, I'll tune in to see.
For TNA, he's worth whatever, but dude, he needs to put out more than
that. He's a fucking superstar.
He's a fucking superstar. He could easily be the flagship, but he's not built for that.
Scott Steiner to not do anything.
Those guys couldn't do it. Kurt Angle is a fucking.
You're talking about people like AJ Styles earlier and stuff like that. And like, yeah, like as soon as they did that whole fucking thing with bringing Bischoff and Hogan in and everything else like that, like, their real strength got buried. which was that they were developing young talent for the business. You know what I mean? And they should have never worked this job.
And I think they're going to a lot of good fucking realm right now. And it's just, that's what it is, man. They have a lot of good things. They have a lot of bad things. And we're going to shine on that week after week. So, listen, man.
Did you say Austin Aries is their champ?
Yes, he is.
That is awesome. I didn't know that.
World champion.
To a guy that's deserving it.
Yeah, and at that, I wanna let you off, Billy.
Okay,
I wanna talk to you in like 5-6 minutes. Like, give me a ring, and I'm gonna wrap this up, and then you know, do the same thing. Do what we do.
And peace to all the wrestling fans, all my loyal Cult Fiction supporters, followers, all my buddies from CZW, my family, and Jay doing a great fucking job, man. Like, keep
thank
it up,
you,
man.
Homie.
And good job earlier, Niles, man. I liked it. I enjoyed listening to you. All right.
Yeah, now,
peace.
Awesome.
I'll talk to you in 5 or 10. Right.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's my homeboy Billy Graham, man. That's my brother right there, and I love that dude. No maybes about it. Now that dude's really close to me. You know what I mean? Like, I got a lot of like close ties to that dude. He's just talking to him offline, and like there's fucking so many conversations. The wrestling don't even come up. You know what I mean? It's either me spilling my heart, him spilling his heart, bad times and all this. And I'm telling you that is a good dude to me. So either way, that's why I'll continue to give him airtime and stuff like that. I know a lot of little wrestlers out there be like, Billy talks too much. Billy's a pain in the ass. And believe me, I struggle with the motherfucker too. But I love that guy. And it's all good. Anyway, my shout-outs. Let me tell you something. Wrestling Soup, they do their shit Thursday nights, just like me. Those guys are my motherfucking, they're my internet family type shit. I hope to be doing a show with one half of the Wrestling Soup and Joey Numbers on Tuesday. I hope to be doing that. My show will go on Tuesday. The next Yakuza Kick Radio will go on Tuesday. The one after that will go on Wednesday. And then from there out, my show will go on Wednesday. I'm going to adjust my workout schedule. I'm going to adjust every fucking thing I do. And I'm telling you, our listenership will get better. I'll have a lot more people that are able to join with us and stuff like that. Wrestling Soup has hundreds and thousands of listeners. And they're on board with me. And they plug me and everything like that. But I'm going on while they're going on. So them plugging me is doing what? You know what I mean? I'm telling you, this is a good move. I do my little side joint, which is the host of Wrestling Soup, Anthony Missionary Thomas's girl, that's Natalie, otherwise known as Tink. She does the show with my girl, Nina. I ain't going to tell you what she's otherwise known. Nah, I'm just fucking. But, you know, and they did the show last night. They got 50-something listens. I fucking promise you, when this show is over and done, and I fucking thought this show went really well, I guarantee you when this show is over and done tomorrow, I ain't going to have nowhere near 50-something listens between the live and download. Last night, them girls, no guests, no wrestlers, no nothing. Them girls had 52 listens between last night and today. Ain't going to happen with me. And there's a problem with that. And I don't have a problem with them getting them listens. I have a problem with me not getting better. Because I've been doing this shit for 2 years and it's fucking crazy. And motherfuckers like me. I know motherfuckers like me. And it's crazy. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Like I said, I'm going to start telling more and more stories about my own shit. I'm going to keep having guests on. I'm going to keep pushing the limits. I'm going to keep doing what I could do. I'm going to do every motherfucking thing I could do to make this bitch entertaining. But I need the listenership. I need more people to get it. I need people. Yo, G's posted the shit out of my stuff tonight. Love that fucking dude. My dude Snapmare posted my shit tonight. Fucking even, you know, Garrett Griffin over there with the shiznet with Yolanda posted my shit up tonight. I mean, these are all my homies. Like, I love these motherfuckers. But I think Thursday is a bad fucking night for me because I would love to listen to fucking Wrestling Soup live. I would love to call into them live. I would love to call into Yolanda live. I would love to have them plug me because we ain't on the same night. And it doesn't mean switch off of me when they say check him out. But it does because I'm on the same fucking night. And I'm saying, so much of Wrestling Soup's audience checked into the girl show last night. And yeah, they had 52 listens between last night and today. I don't have fucking 52 listens without a guest. Guaranteed you with Niles Young by tomorrow, fucking when I check this bitch at lunch tomorrow on my iPad, guarantee I ain't got no motherfucking combined 52 listens. And I'll update you motherfuckers exactly what the fuck I got. And I challenge you motherfuckers. Tell all your friends. Fucking prove me wrong. I fucking hope you prove me wrong. But I'm telling you, it's some bullshit going on. I need more listens. I need a better followership. And I think the move I need to make now, because my brother's over there at the Wrestling Soup, they've been doing their fucking thing, capitalizing every fucking bit of the entertainment bit over there on the podcast, radio, whatever. I don't know what the fuck call this shit. Just because it's live, it's not a podcast. That's just a fucking podcast, whatever. That shit, they're capitalizing that shit. And that's fine. They were doing that shit before I was fucking doing it. And even, I think they were. But they were doing these big numbers right from the start. Springboarded off of the Don Tony Kevin Castle shit. And they're a better show right now. No question. Don Tony Kevin Castle gets well over 1 million fucking downloads a year. That dude is fucking garbage. And I'm telling you right now, he knows his old school shit. He doesn't know a goddamn thing about new school anything. His independent wrestling knowledge isn't him going, hey, you know, I really don't know what's going on there. He goes, yeah, it's dead. It's just dead. It's completely dead. Nothing to see there. Let's just move on. Nothing to see here. But he sweats the fuck out of CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. And he was shitting on the indie business when they were in the indie business. So this is what I mean. It's the same bullshit that's going on. I say what the fuck is going on. I say what's real. And I'll fucking correct myself when I'm fucking wrong. I don't stick by my shit and act like a fucking retard and walk around like, no, I didn't. No, I didn't say that. Nope. Here's where I was right. Like, nah, shut the fuck up, man. Anyway, Yakuza Kick fucking radio. See you motherfuckers on Tuesday. Let's bounce around a little bit, homies. Let's take my little bullshit cluster of listenership that I love you motherfuckers 100%. Let's take my little cluster. Let's bounce around a little bit. We're going to end up on a Wednesday. Next week is Tuesday. But then we'll end up on a Wednesday. And then guess what? We're going to build a motherfucking empire. All right? You motherfuckers are going to be the first in line to get the fucking credit. Because you're the line leaders, you're the motherfucking foundation to my shit. Thank you guys so much. Everybody that listens to this shit, thank you. Thank you, Niles Young. Thank you, Billy. Thank you, every fucking buddy. And tune in on Tuesday. Check out this fucking show. And then let's just go from there. All right? Check it.
Trying to get our two boys ready to carry them to golf tournament for practice, right? 12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door, but the screen's broke. So you come in that through the house. Screen, but you can't get back out of it. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, it's a cat in the house. Cat in the house?
Cat in the house.
So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door.
Cat in the house.
The cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need much of cats in here. I'm looking in the mirror. So I look good. I got my extra bands on.
Got my other shoes on.
Be a dog.
Niggas got gear on to deal with the cat.
We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Yeah, you do, don't you?
But you go to the back. and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.